ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാശിയിലെ പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക്, അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദയ്ക്ക്, നാമാചാര്യ ശിലഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക്, പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീ കൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക്, ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപ ഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ഡഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനിക്ക്, വൃന്ദാവൻധാംക്ക്, മായപ്പൂർധാംക്ക്, മധുരപുരിധാംക്ക്, ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരിധാംക്ക്, ദ്വാരകാപുരിധാംക്ക്, ഗംഗമായിക്ക്, യമുനമായിക്ക്, തുളസിദേവിക്ക്, ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക്, സാമവേദി ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗോർ പ്രേമനന്ദി. ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു അസംബ്ലി ഡിവോട്ടീസ്, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു അസംബ്ലി ഡിവോട്ടീസ്, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു അസംബ്ലി ഡിവോട്ടീസ്, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ്, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ശിശി ഗുരുവൻ, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ശിശിയുടെ പ്രഭുപാദ. നമോമഷപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമി നിധി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതീവിം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണേ. ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ, ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ, ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ. ഓം അജ്ഞാനതിമിരാന്തസ്യ ജ്ഞാനാഞ്ജനശലാകയ ചക്ഷുരുന്മീലിതാം യേന തസ്മൈ ശ്രീഗുരവേ നമഃ. ശ്രീചൈതന്യമനോഭീഷ്ടാം സ്ഥാപിതാം യേന ഭൂതലേ സ്വയം രൂപകദാ മഹ്യം ദദാതി സ്വപദാന്തികം. വന്ദേഹം ശ്രീഗുരു ശ്രീയുധാപദകമലം ശ്രീഗുരും വൈഷ്ണവാംശ്ച ശ്രീരൂപം സാഗ്രജാതം സഹഗണരഘുനാഥാന്വിതം തം സജീവം സാവധൂതം പരിജനസഹിതം കൃഷ്ണചൈതന്യദേവം ശ്രീരാധാകൃഷ്ണപദാം സഹഗണലളിതാം ശ്രീവിശാഖാൻവിതാംശ്ച. നമോം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിതി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതിദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണേ. നമോം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതീ നാമിനേ ശ്രീവർഷഭാനവിദേവി ദൈതായ കൃപാബ്ധയേ കൃഷ്ണസംബന്ധ വിജ്ഞാനം ദായിനേ പ്രഭവേ നമാം. മാധുര്യോജ്വല പ്രേമാദ്യാ ശ്രീരൂപാനുഗഭക്തിദ ശ്രീഗൗരകരുണാശക്തി വിഗ്രഹായ നമോസ്തുതേ. നമസ്തേ ഗൗരവാണി ശ്രീമൂർത്തയേ ദീനധാരിണേ രൂപാനുഗവിരുദ്ധാവസിദ്ധാന്തദ്വാന്തഹാരിണേ. നമോ ഗൗരകിഷോരായ സാക്ഷാദ് വൈരാഗ്യമൂർത്തയെ വിപ്രലംബരസാംഭോദേ പദാംബുജായതേ നമാം. നമോ ഭക്തിവിനോദായ സച്ചിദാനന്ദനാമിനേ ഗൗരശക്തിസ്വരൂപായ രൂപനൂഗവരായതേ. ഗൗരാവിർഭവഭൂമേസ്ത്വം നിർദ്ദേഷ്ടാസ ജനപ്രിയ വൈഷ്ണവാ സർവഭൗമ ശ്രീജഗന്നാഥായതേ നമാം. വഞ്ചകൽപ്പതരുഭ്യശ്ച കൃപാസിന്ധുഭ്യേവ ച പതിതാനാം പാവനേഭ്യോ വൈഷ്ണവേഭ്യോ നമോ നമാം. നമോ മഹാവദന്യായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രേമപ്രദായതേ കൃഷ്ണായ കൃഷ്ണചൈതന്യനാമ്നേ ഗൗരത്വശേ നമാം. പഞ്ചതത്വാത്മകം കൃഷ്ണം ഭക്തരൂപസ്വരൂപകം ഭക്താവതാരം ഭക്താഖ്യം നമാമി ഭക്തശാക്തിയം. കരുണാസിന്ധോ ദീനബന്ധോ ജഗൽപദേ ഗോപേശ ഗോപികാകാന്ത രാധാകാന്ത നമോസ്തുതേ. ജയതാം സുരദൗപാംഗോർമമ മന്ദമദേർഗതി മത്സർവസ്വദാംബോജോ രാധാമദനമോഹനൗ. ദിവ്യവൃന്ദാരണ്യകൽപദ്രുമാദ ശ്രീമന്ത്രത്നാകര സിംഹാസനസ്ഥോ ശ്രീമന്ദ്രാധാശീല ഗോവിന്ദദേവോ പ്രേഷ്ടാളിവിസേവ്യമാനോ സ്മരാമി ശ്രീമന്ദ്രാസരസാരംഭി വംശീ വടതടസ്ഥിത കർഷൻ വേണുസ്വനേർഗോപേർഗോപിനാഥാശ്രിയേസ്തു നാം ഭക്തകാഞ്ചന ഗൗരാംഗീ രാധേ വൃന്ദാവനേശ്വരി വൃഷഭാനുസുതേ ദേവി പ്രണമാമി ഹരിപ്രിയേ ജയ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീദ്വൈതഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ കൃഷ്ണ ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ പാർത്ഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതാം ഭഗവതാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതാം പുരാണമുനിനാം മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണീ ഭഗവതീ അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനീ അമ്പ ത്വാമനുസന്ധദാമി ഭഗവദ്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണീ നമോസ്തു തേ വ്യാസവിശാലബുദ്ധേ ലാരവിന്ദായതപത്രനേത്ര യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരതതൈലപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപാം പ്രപന്നപാരിജാതായ തോത്രവേത്രൈകവാണയേ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദുഹേ നമാം സർവോപനിഷദോ ഗാവോ ദുഗ്ധാ ഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോ വത്സസുധീർഭോക്താ ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹത് വസുദേവസുതം ദേവം കംസചാണൂരമർദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും ഭീഷ്മദ്രോണതടാ ജയദ്രഥജല ഗാന്ധാരനീലോൽപല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതീ കൃപേണ വഹനീ കർണേന വേലാകുല ഭാമാവികർണ ഘോരമകരാ ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സുതീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണനദീ പൈവർത്തകേശവ പാരാശര്യവജസ്സരോജമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനകകേസരം ഹരികഥാ സംബോധനാബോധിതം ലോകൈ സജ്ജനഷൽപദൈരഹരഃ പ്രീയമാനം മുദാ ഭൂയാദ് ഭാരത പങ്കജ കലിമല പ്രധ്വംസിന ശ്രേയസേ മുഖം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കം ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം യം ബ്രഹ്മാവരുണേന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുദസ്ത്വന്വന്ദി ദിവ്യൈസ്തവൈർ വേദേർ സാംഗപദൈർക്രമോപനിഷദേർ ഗായന്തി യം സാമഗാഃ ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിത തദ്ഗതേന മനസാ പശ്യന്തി യം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദുസുരാ സുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ ധൃതി ഓ വിൽ പവർ ദാറ്റ്സ് വാട്ട് വി യുവർ ടോക്കിംഗ് അബൌട്ട് ലാസ്റ്റ് സൺഡേ ഇസ്ന്റ് ഇറ്റ് കൃഷ്ണ സ്പോക്ക് ദിസ് വിൽ പവർ ഓൾസോ ഇൻ ടു ത്രീ കാറ്റഗറീസ് അന്ധസത്വഗുണം രജോഗുണം ആൻഡ് തമോഗുണം വാട്ട് വി ഹവ് സീൻ ദയർ ദാറ്റ് സത്വഗുണം ധൃതി ഈസ് ആധ്യാത്മികം ശ്രദ്ധ ശ്രദ്ധ ആൻഡ് സീരിയസ്നെസ് ഇൻ സ്പിരിച്വൽ ലൈഫ് Again, Krishna says that in the Bhagavatam also, you will see this in the, later on in the Bhagavatam, Satvika Adhyatmika Shraddha, Karma Shraddha to Rajasi. That means Adhyatmika Shraddha, if one gets established in the spiritual life, if Shraddha is all in the spiritual life, then it is Satvagunam, Satvikam. Everything is like that. Everything in relationship with spiritual life is Satvikam. So that is why when Krishna spoke about Karma, Jnanam, then buddhi and And what else? Karta and Kayam. Yes. All, everywhere you will see this. Satvigam is relationship with spiritual life, self-realization. Otherwise, it's not Satvigam. So, Satvigya Jnanam helps. Satvigya Karmam helps. Satvigam, anything that is Satvigam is favorable. Anything that is Rajasam and Tamasam is unfavorable. That is the principle. So, same thing in Dhridhi also, what we talk about willpower, Krishna mentions there, that Satvigam is that one that which is favorable for spiritual life. And we were talking about that, the verses in the Bhagavatam also, Krishna says there, that Dhritya Yaya Dharayade Mana Pranendriya Kriya, 33rd verse, Yogina Avyabhijaninyam Dhridhisa Partha Satvigi. We have seen that in detail. And then Krishna spoke about the Yayatu dharma gamarthan dhritya dharayade arjuna prasangena bhalakankshi dhridisa partha rajasi. Rajasik dhridhi, rajasik willpower we have seen. Then we were talking about the last one. Yaya sutnam bhayam shogam vishadam madam evaja na vimunjali dhurmedha dhridisa tamasi mata. So, this tamasic nature, that durmedha kulsida medhaha, that means sleep, fear, always in distress, and struggling in everything, that is the nature of this tamasic dhridi. And without giving them up, coming, getting free from there, thinking that I am doing everything right, that is also the nature of this tamasa dhridi. So, because of this, based on this karmam, karta, jnanam, all these things, based on the three modes of nature, the after effect of all this is that the happiness what you will have will also come under three categories: sattugunam, rajogunam, tamogunam. Sukham, everybody is searching for sukham in this world, isn't it? We want to be happy. We want to enjoy happiness. That's a goal. But that happiness is even is under three modes. That's because jnanam, karmam, karta, buddhi, dhridhi, they are all under three modes. And therefore, the sukham, happiness that's coming from that, is also under three modes. That's the reason. That because jnanam, karmam, karta, buddhi, and also dhridhi, they are all under three modes, is it not? So therefore, the after effect of all that, which comes as happiness, will also be under three modes. And that is important, because it is these three modes that makes us understand that how far away we are from the genuine happiness. How far away we are from the genuine happiness. Completely affected by the rajasic and tamasic nature. Majority of the living entities in this world, these two modes are predominant in everybody, isn't it? Rajasam and tamasam. And when rajasam and tamasam is predominant, you can understand that, and their happiness is also rajasam tamasam. Happiness is also rajasam tamasam. Because happiness is rajasam tamasam, you can more or less say that their buddhi, their karta, their jnanam, their karmam is also under rajasa tamasam. They are all connected to each other. This is the point Krishna is making here. That he mentioned there that the nature of this tamasic mind is that he will struggle in this world worrying about things where he has no relationship with that, connection with that, and he has no solution for those problems, and he will think about all that and worry himself about it. And this is, Krishna says to Arjuna, is a symptom of a tamasic mind. And apart from that, the mind will also be in a sleepy mode. Jadyada, it calls it as jadyada, jadam, nature is very jadam. Jada means that neither no spiritual vibrations inside the mind, always on the bodily level or on the material level, or on the identification with the matter, in other words. And he will dream many, many things in this world, but he will not be willing to do any work for that. And not only that, his willpower will not allow him to do anything. And as far as he is concerned, there is no willpower in him. Rajogunam is different. Rajoguni has a willpower to get what he wants. He will work for that. Rajogunam nature is like that. He will have that willpower to work to get his what desire fulfilled. Therefore, he has willpower. Tamoguni, Krishna is saying here, he has no willpower practically. And what else is there? He sleeps a lot. And even if he wakes up, he will go back to sleep again. And if you ask him, why have you not slept so far? Why are you sleeping again? They will say, I need some rest after sleeping so much. And some people say that this is nature. With many, many people, you can see this. That some people say that, oh, because he's always resting and sleeping, maybe he's liberated soul. He doesn't need any attachment. He's Jivan Mukta, or liberated soul in this life. So, if this is Jivan Mukti, then it's better not to have that, isn't it? So, better than that is Rajogunam. Rajogunam is better than that. But this Tamogunam, that is the most damaging thing, because if you go and sit next to them, it will capture you. It's very infectious, this Tamogunam. It's very infectious. And if you, they have to just glance over you, that's enough. Wow. Just that powerful it is. Just by glancing, by their glances alone, you will get affected. And through their eyes, that Tamogunam will flow freely through the eyes. And then if you had that glance, then for another 10 days you won't get up from the... So that is how it is. And they have that very, very powerful effect of to destroy anything in this world. And therefore, suppose they say that... they look at anything and they say, look at the tree and say, oh, there's so many apples on the tree, and a tree won't give you any more apples next year. To that extent, their words will come true because of the powerful tamogunam inside. So tamogunam is a power in a person. And power will remain either in sattugunam or rajogunam or tamogunam. But it will also absolutely merge on the self. These gunams are coming from the prakriti. They are coming from the prakriti, but it has its own power in everyone. It has its own power. And it's a kind of a power. Power, if you say like that, some people say that I have no willpower. They will say like that. What it does is, if your sattvam or if your nature is such that it will, if you are not strong enough, it will swallow you. This whole the modes of nature. For example, just like in the rivers and sometimes in the tank, they have these whirlpools. If you fall into that, it will suck you inside. Is it not? Similarly, so that is why Krishna mentions in many places that as much as possible to remain aloof from this and to remain alone in seclusion. Because to remain in sattugunam, it helps. Sattugunam is like that, to remain alone and to develop that sattvam stronger inside. Similarly, chanting the holy name, kirtan, bhajans, and association with the devotees, that's all required. But it is for that purpose temples have been built. For this reason, and not that you go to the temple and to become something, because Krishna says there, in all the temples, it is considered to be a place where Krishna's vibhuti is present, one of his opulences is present, and if you spend some time there, that means the temple should be free from any influences of material thoughts or material vibrations. That's it. The responsibility of the temple to be maintained that way. So that when you go inside there, there is a place where it's not infected with the three modes. Krishna says this, mannigedam to nirgunam. That's, we have to be conscious of this, because Krishna is saying that that mannigedam to nirgunam. Krishna's temple is nirgunam, free from the three modes of material nature. So it should be kept in that way. We shouldn't conduct any business transactions or any other material discussions, material topics, all these things to be avoided. And by somehow or the other, this tamogunam has to be changed to rajogunam, at least, to be changed to rajogunam. So that is why, if you have looked at various ashrams in this world, particularly, doesn't matter whether it's any tradition, it doesn't matter, what they will do, many, many rishis in their ashrams, if you go, that first initially, for the brahmacharis, they will not give any engagement in meditation or dhyanam or any such thing, and engage them in action first. Engage them in action. The purpose is that we work for some time without the, in the intention behind that is, you keep on working but without any purpose. That means without expectation of any results from that. And in that way, that energy what he had in him in the form of tamogunam, that gets converted into rajogunam. This is the reason behind that. Any ashrams, you'll see this. Initially, when brahmacharis join there, they are not straight away given spiritual sadhana. And they have been engaged to do a lot of work. The reason for that is that by doing a lot of work, they get that tamogunam in there converted into rajogunam. Converted into rajogunam. And because after a while, even when they moved further in the rajogunam also, then they come to the sattugunam, then he won't be able to do anything. He cannot do anything. Everything will go away from him. The karmam will go away from him. So in one stage, in a particular stage, rajogunam will help. Rajogunam will help. In another stage, he has to transcend that rajogunam and has to go further. So tamogunam is a symptom of that. That is why Krishna is mentioning there, that this tamogunam is a symptom of that. Look at that word Krishna has used there, that yaya sapnam bhayam shogam vishadam madam evacha na vimunjadi durmedha. See that word, durmedha. Durmedha dhriti sa tamasi mada. So durmedhas it is called. Tamasi mada. So durmedha means what? Durmedha's nature is, his medha shakti is always vishadam. Vishadam means very sorrowful. Very sorrowful. So even there are among the poets also who writes poetry, which is always very sorrowful. Sadists they are called. Everything is very sad for them. Very sadist. And if you read their poetry, you will also feel miserable. And they freely distribute, free supply, misery to everybody. So what it is that their own inside is not right, not set properly. All kinds of distress inside, and their weaknesses, and their tamogunam inside, they are converted into poetry-like language, and they are freely distributing to everybody. These sadists, they are so sad in their life. So rishis have never accepted them as poets, because nanrishi kavihi. Rishis are saying that kavi is one who is called krantadarshi. Krantadarshi means one who knows the truth and analyzes the truth. So normally, from the rishi's point of view, one who is not a rishi should not write poetry. This we have spoken before. Because kavita or poetry means a free expression of the self, isn't it? Poetry comes from that depth of a person. When who is writing the poetry, it comes from his very deeper level that he is expressing it. So, unless you are free, only then you should express freely. otherwise you should not. Unless you are free, you should not express freely what you feel. Because if I am not free, then I will get various thoughts in my mind. All kinds of thoughts will come to my mind, isn't it? If I start speaking all that, what all that comes to my mind, I'll get beaten up, wouldn't I? Because what a nonsense all comes through my mind. So, in other words, this free expression that is not allowed in the, from the Vedic point of view, it's not allowed in the tamogunam. Not allowed in the tamogunam. Because everywhere in the world people talk about, oh, you should have the freedom to express, freedom to express. But that is very dangerous. Free expression is not allowed in the tamogunam or rajogunam. It is not allowed from the Vedic point of view. Because in tamogunam, if you start this free expression, then you can more or less take that person to a psychiatrist. Because you will require that. Once it so happened that this is a famous thing, everybody knows about it, you may also know about it. There was one psychiatrist, he hypnotized one of his patients. And when you hypnotize, what you are actually doing is that in a subconscious mind, the psychiatrist is relating with the mind of the subconscious mind of the patient. So at that time, at a particular stage, the patient, his level has changed. The whole level has changed in the sense that in his psychic world, that patient started speaking things from the life of psychiatrist's life. Because of this hypnosis that happened, that the patient started speaking, many, many things started pouring out what has happened in the psychiatrist's life, who was treating her. So many things, what the psychiatrist has not even told his wife, this patient started talking. That many, many experiences in his life and about how his children, one of his sons died early in their life and so many other things. And he started speaking all these things. So, if anybody starts speaking like this, because that's how it is, that when this hypnotism happened, things will come out from the subconscious level and will start coming out. So at that time, that book was very famous at that time, Hypnotizing. So he says there that this free expression in that book, if you want to know, the name of the book is Brian L. Weiss, Many Masters. That's a book called. You can download that on the internet if you want to read it. His own experience is saying that. That he was a psychiatrist who treated a lady who was very depressed, and she came to him for treatment, and then he treated her through hypnotism. He was trying to, because he gave her this sedatives and all other kinds of tranquilizers and everything, it didn't work. So he tried this hypnotism with her, and the result was that she started speaking. Actually, that book has created a lot of discussion among the psychiatrists in the psychic world. There are a lot of discussion about that. So point is here that free expression is not allowed. Some or the other we give importance for that, isn't it? Freedom to express what we want. Therefore, that is why from any point of view, you have to remain within the framework of dharmam. There you have to remain first. And not that you speak what you like and you live the way you like and do things what you like. All these things are not acceptable. So if you are feeling something like that, unusual things, keep it inside, not to reveal it to the world. You don't have to reveal it to the world. So many things will come for different people, different ideas will come, isn't it? Thoughts will come. So that's all the drainage water inside. And you should not pour that on others. So, the water, what you have, the drainage, it's called the drainage water. And that you have to keep to yourself. And not to pour on others. If you get Ganga water from inside, then you can sprinkle it on others. if it is drainage water that is coming, that's your fate. There's nothing you can do about it. And that should be kept inside. So little by little, if our thoughts are bad, or thoughts coming in our mind is not right, if it is in the tamogunam or rajogunam, that should be changed through dharmam, spiritual, following the principles of dharmam, through knowledge, and through time. These things will change, but you have to remain within the framework of dharmam and should purify that in that way. And not that whatever that is my tamogunam is dictating to me from inside, and I keep on blurring it outside. I keep on giving it to the world. That tamogunam that comes from, that is why the law is required. So dharmam is that law which restricts this. So those who have got this rajogunam and tamogunam, he is not allowed any free expression. That is an important principle. So only those who are in the sattugunam, free expression is allowed. That is what Krishna is saying here, that tamasi buddhi. Tamasi buddhi means that person will be sopnam bhayam shokam vishadam madam. This is all his nature. Sopnam bhayam shokam vishadam madam. Madam means ahangaram, false ego. And if you add up all these together, that is called durmedhas. See the next word. Na vimunjadi durmedha. Durmedha means a combination of all these things. Sopnam bhayam shokam vishadam madam. Sopnam bhayam shokam vishadam madam. Madam means nothing but ahangaram, false ego. And all of these things together, if you add up, it is called durmedha. Krishna says, na vimunjadi durmedha. So, medhasa means fat. Medhasa means fat. Or excessive fat in the body. And that fat has to go, bodily fat you have to remove by austerities. And if medhasa means that fat, extra fat, if it gets reduced in the body, it will turn into metha shakti. Metha means buddhi. Medhasa is fat and metha is buddhi. So, because of this excessive fat also, that is another cause of this tamogunam in the body. Excessive fat in the body. So, it is only to bring that down, austerities like Ekadashi and other things. So, lot of durmedhas will go in that way from the body. So, that is the tamogunam in the dhriti. Krishna says, tamogunam in the dhriti. So, 33rd verse, if you look, you'll see. Dhritya yaya dharayate. 33rd. Mana pranendriya kriya yogena avyabhijarinyam. Dhridisa partha sattvi. We have seen that verse in detail, is it not? So, here, dhritya dharayate. Dhritya yaya dharayate. So, dhriti means that power for dharana. Dharana. To absorb. So, you have to remember this. All what we are doing now in this world has all been already decided in previous lifetimes. It's a programmed thing coming out in a particular form now through this body. Purva Sangalpam it's called. Somewhere in previous lifetimes, some decision has been made, or something you have made this dhriti dharana shakti, which has created some Sangalpam inside. That is why you operate in a particular way in this world. Every one of us. That's because of that decision that's been made previously. So, what is that Purva Sangalpam? Purva Sangalpam means that resolve what you have made before. It is after that all other Sangalpams have come. So, there is a powerful Sangalpam in there. For example, first Sangalpam I have is I am aware of my existence, isn't it? Always conscious of me. Me, me, me. That consciousness always about myself, my own existence. Where did that come from? That is the first sankalpam it started. My own existence, conscious of my own existence all the time. So, jivam kalpayade purvam, tado bhavan pradak vidhan. So, jivam kalpayade purvam. Initially, that was the first sankalpam, from everything has come. Yoga means what? Yoga means, that is what it is saying here. So, all the senses, for example, what is operating, our senses, that's operating because of the power of prana inside. You remember, we discussed that. First, alma from within comes in the form of energy, in the form of prana, operates if it wants in the form of mind, or in the form of senses, or in the form of intelligence, or in the form of ego. In any of these forms, alma can communicate with this body. In the gross body, it will identify with the body one way, identify with the mind another way, identify with the intelligence in another way, identify with the senses in another way. Similarly with the ego also, ahankara also. So, therefore, it is Atma's flow, that is what you are seeing through all sense gratification. That means these five knowledge acquiring senses, like eyes, ears, nose, touch and taste, these are the knowledge acquiring senses. And similarly, all these things is nothing but a outflow of this pranan from inside. Pranan's outflow, that is, through the senses. Pranan is nothing but energy coming from the soul, isn't it? So that comes through the eyes in the form of light to see and recognize things, and through the ears to come out and start hearing, and through the nose to smell. And it is the same one force, pranan, that's operating through three different senses. Force is the same, but it expresses itself in five different ways in our body. Through the five different knowledge senses, it expresses in five different ways. So, this prana shakti, the power of that pranam, it gets distributed through the senses. It gets completely distributed through the senses. So, and remains as purely pranam inside. And so, the first step in the yoga system is to recognize this. That means, so that if I allow my senses to go freely, continuously my prana is getting distributed. Therefore, they say that we have to make this resolve that I do not want to absorb these eyes in releasing the prana unnecessarily. So, things what is not required is not to be seen. There is no necessity to see. Similarly with the ears, because every time when you use the senses in any sensual activity, you are losing your prana inside. You are losing that energy, loss of energy inside. So, just like you can see, if you chant the holy name, what happens? Our shraddha goes into that, isn't it? Attention goes into that. So, at that time, what happens? The prana goes back into the mind. Prana goes into the mind. Mind is what Krishna is saying there, that yogena avyabhijarinyam. Avyabhijarinyam. Avyabhijarinyam means through yogam the mind has come under control. Come under control. That means mind, where does the mind come under control? Mind goes into his own identity, Atma, to the self. To the self. So that power which one has capable of withdrawing the senses from the world and reserve and saving that prana, using that energy to send the mind back towards the self, is called dhriti in the sattvika mode. See that? Dhritya, dhritya yaya dharayate mana pranendriya kriyaha yogena avyabhijarinya dhriti sa partha sattviki. The partha sattviki. So, naturally you can see that in a mind which is absorbed in the world, materialistic life in this world, or relationship with the body and the world, continuously the prana is getting distributed through the senses. So, if we pull back the senses and bring that prana back inwards and use that prana or energy to by the process of chanting the holy name, if we bring it back and allow that mind to go back, so the mind activity stops. Sankalpa vikalpam stops there. See, from vikalpam comes sankalpam, is it not? Vikalpam means thought waves, continuous flow of thoughts inside. From that vikalpam comes, one sankalpam comes in, from there. From the vikalpam comes sankalpam. So that's why they say sankalpa vikalpam mana. Manas is nothing but sankalpa vikalpam. So if that has to stop, that mind has to stop. That means chitavritti has to stop. And that is what Krishna calls it as avyabhijarinya. Manas yogena avyabhijarinya. So through avyabhijarini yogam, the mind has come under control, means mind has gone and dissolved in the self. And that power, one who has capacity for doing that, Krishna says, that is dhruti, satvika dhruti. He calls it as satvika dhruti or willpower, willpower. Willpower against the will. Will means, what is will? Will means achieving something from the world outside, isn't it? So willpower is that power inside to fight against that will from the world. The world is what is called as will. This will to get this done or that done. So, whatever I desire and my effort, endeavor to achieve that, and all that is will, isn't it? That's my will. Ichha Shakti, Shastram calls it as Ichha Shakti. So now your willpower becomes subservient to the higher will, to your higher will. Your willpower has become subservient to your higher will. So, will or Ichha Shakti, when you are able to direct it towards the self, towards Atma, and that is what Krishna calls it as Satvika Dhruti. See that word, Satvika Dhruti. Satvika Dhruti is not a simple thing. It's not a simple thing, isn't it? So, actually, this Ichha Shakti, will, is Krishna's. It comes from Krishna. And when it gets corrupted, that gets corrupted, it comes in the form of ego. Comes in the form of ego. So ego or ahankaram is nothing but a corrupted form of that willpower. Ichha Shakti's willpower, when it's corrupted, it is called ahankaram or false ego. Or false ego. So through meditation process, through japam, sadhana, upasana, and this Ichha Shakti or will, it merges in the self. It merges in the self. And when it goes into the self and merges there, that is the margam process of the jnana margam. In bhakti margam, the same thing happens through sharanagati. Through sharanagati it happens. Sharanagati. So, and that sharanagati or the merging of that Ichha Shakti or the mind in the self is what Krishna is calling it as avyabhijarini yoga. Yogena avyabhijarini. So, all this, pranan, the senses, their activities, everything has become in a state of samadhi. In a state of samadhi. And samadhi, that yogi, he in that samadhi state, he will not see anything through his eyes. And he will, and if we hear anything, everything what he is seeing is Krishna's presence. That's what he is seeing through the eyes. And if he is hearing anything, he is hearing Krishna's words or Krishna's instructions. And if he is smelling anything, he smells Krishna everywhere. And if he is tasting anything, that will be Krishna's prasadam. And all senses, activities of the senses has become divine. In other words, he is not seeing in many, many forms. He is seeing in one form as Krishna's manifestation in everything through all the senses he is experiencing. Bhavam ekam avyayam ekshade, not pravibhaktam. Avibhaktanja vibhakteshu. Remember, Krishna mentions that before. Not pravibhaktam, avibhaktam. So, that is why. See this, that is oneness. That is that oneness. That in everything, recognizing that it is not an intellectual thing. In realization that is happening. In realization. that you're only experiencing Krishna in eating, smelling, touching, tasting, seeing, hearing, everything, experiencing Krishna through that way, all the senses. So that is that state in the Satvika state. You can imagine that. That's what it's mentioned, isn't it? Sarabhudeshu yapashet bhagavad bhav alpana. Bhudani bhagavatesha savai bhagavatama. Not only seeing, but everything else, hearing also. Same. All senses have shut down now. They're not doing any more materialistic things. They're not distributed in many ways. They've become all come to one point of the self or Krishna, in other words. So, and for them, normally people, when they want to go in meditation, they have to close their eyes, isn't it, and sit. But for them, they don't have to close their eyes anymore. Even without closing their eyes, in the open eyes, they are in the meditative state. They are in a state of meditation. So that was the state, if you remember, in the Bhagavatam, Prahlada had. Remember? If you look into the 7th canto, you will see there a verse there. Subrahmarshi mentions this about Prahlada. We had spoken about that before, that he says that how Prahlada was all the time Govinda Parirambhida, it says in the Bhagavad. Govinda Parirambhida. That any time, they say, if you look into 7th canto, 4th chapter 38, Asinan Pariyadan Ashnan Shayana Prabhiban Bruvan Nanu Sandattha Metani Govinda Parirambhida. That was his state. Always in that state, Prahlada was. Prahlada was not seeing the world like the way we are seeing the world. Prahlada was seeing Krishna is present everywhere, in everything. And whenever he heard anything, even when Hiranyakashipu was talking to him rudely, he did not get disturbed over that. Why? Because Govinda Parirambhida. Govinda Parirambhida means this state. That's what it is called. And therefore, nobody could understand him. Nyasta kridanago balo jadavattan manastaya krishna graha grihidalma naveda jagadidrisham. Everything is very straightforward. He says, naveda jagadidrisham. This jagat, what we are seeing now, he did not see it as the way we are seeing it. We are seeing it with so many names, forms, and so many living entities, species, everything. All different for us. Is it not? Prahlada was seeing the world. Na veda jagadi drisham. He is seeing this world. There is nothing different here. Everything, there is only one. Krishna graha grihidalma. Krishna is there, what he is seeing everywhere. Yasta kridanago balo jadavattan manastaya. Yasta kridanago balo. He had no interest in also playing with the other children. Because jadavattan manastaya, that jadam things, what the children were interested in, he was not attracted by that. And Krishna graha grihidalma, because Krishna has captured him completely, naveda jagadidrisham, therefore he could not see this world as the way we are seeing. This one point you have to always remember, what is that? It is like this, the world exists, we exist, right? World exists because we exist. Not that because the world exists, we exist. This is a complete wrong understanding. Maya's technique that is to capture, to misguide us. Everybody is thinking, oh, the world is always existing. I am a visitor here. No. You are the one actually existing. World is not telling you, I am existing, is it? World is not telling us that I am existing. It is in us, the existence of the world is experienced. So if I am not there, the world is not existing. This is a very fundamental principle in the Vedantam as well as in the Bhagavatam. Only if this understanding is strong inside, you will understand what Bhagavatam is talking about. Many things will be confusing otherwise. This is a very fundamental principle. Krishna will repeat this later on in the Ekadasham very strongly when he mentions this. He says there, that what is this world? It doesn't exist, Krishna says. Equally, because I have this awareness, my body is existing. Otherwise, this body is not existing. And that is why Krishna is saying body is not existing. These are things on a very higher level in the spiritual life. Body is not existing. World is not existing. Falsely, initially when we start the spiritual life, for us world exists a lot. More than we give importance to the world a lot, isn't it? But as you study Bhagavatam and little bit more reflective over it, you will realize, hey, world doesn't exist. Body doesn't exist. This will go away from inside naturally. Why? Because you start realizing what exists is only the Atma inside. The self alone exists. Because the self has got this capacity to know the existence of something else, it comes to accept that the world is existing, the body is existing, the mind is existing, so many other things are existing. But if the self is not there, all these things are not existing. So where is the reality? Reality is in the self, not in the world, not in the body. Therefore, Krishna put the whole thing together in one lotus called Asat. The world, the body, the mind, the self, the ego, intelligence, everything belongs to that Asat group. Asat group. Sat is only the self inside, nothing else. So that is why Asinan Paryadan Asnan, when he is sitting, walking, when he is eating, Shayanan Praviban Bruan, when he is sleeping, all the times, Nanu Sandatta Medhani Govinda Paritampida, he could not experience anything else except Krishna. Except Krishna. That is Prahlada's state. That is what is called here. So that is what Krishna is saying here. This Satyaki Dhridi, what it creates in a person. And that is the state of a realized soul. So, nothing separated from Krishna exists to them, isn't it? And it happens like that, that is when it is avyabhijarini yoga, that word there. See that third line? Yogena avyabhijarini, Krishna says there, isn't it? Yogena avyabhijarini. And that dhriti is sattviki. At that time, the mind will not go and stay in something else. So if you some desire comes inside and I feel that I want it to have something, that means my ego, ahankaram inside is very powerful at that time. Ahankaram is very powerful. And I want that, and if I don't get it, I get upset about it. Is it not? So that is what Krishna says here, that the if I get it, that I will be peaceful inside, shanti inside. If you remain in that state and look at this, something what you want very badly, you are desiring for it, and it has come in front of you and is standing there. You haven't got it, but you are going to get it. You haven't got it. So, at that time, inside you, that aham, yourself, it's operating very strongly, is it not? You wanted something very strongly. It has come and stood in front of you. And you haven't got it yet, but it is there, ready there to be accepted. So that time, your ego inside will take a very powerful shape at that time. And that is what Krishna calls, that ego is called a dhruti. It's called dhruti. And that means able to take that to yourself and make it your own. And that power inside you to make it for dharana, to possess that, to possess that. So anything, a vastu in this world, if you do dharana, that dharana will be taken inside. Dharana will happen. So dhridi creates dharana. This is the principle, because this principle is important in the yoga siddhi. If you remember, in the 19th chapter of the 11th canto, Krishna talks about Aishwarya Siddhis, isn't it? There, he mentioned how different Aishwarya Siddhis comes to us. That process is spoken there. How different Aishwarya Siddhis comes to us. Everything is based on this dharana. That how if you develop this dhriti strongly and use the mind to have that, it will get inside and become yours. So, that dharana shakti, it is called dharana, power of dharana. It is a part of the Ashtanga Yogam also. Yamam, Nemam, Asanam, Pranayam, Pratyaharam, Dharana. The sixth one. So, dharana shakti If you manage to get that established in the self, then it is sattvikam. It is sattvikam. So, at that stage, then you don't want anything from outside. All the senses are gone and dissolved in the mind, and mind is gone and dissolved in the self, and everything dissolved in the self, and that is why the Upanishad says, Ekam evam adhidiyam brahmam. So, then you cannot see anything in this world separated from the Atma. Everywhere nothing exists except Atma. And that Krishna calls it as Sattvika Dhruti. Krishna has said that as the Sattvika Dhruti. So this Sattvika Dhruti, like Sattvika Jnanam, Sattvika Buddhi, Sattvika Karmam, Sattvika Jnanam, what we have discussed before, now it is Sattvika Dhruti. See, in Sattugunam, everything is focused on self and the self-realization, nothing else. So, then Krishna spoke about Rajasa Dhruti and Tamasa Dhruti, isn't it? Yayadu dharma kamartan dhritya dhairayate Arjuna, 34th verse, prasangena bhalakangshi dhritisa partha rajasi. Then yayasopnam bhayam shogam vishadam madam evacha na vimunjadi durmeda dhritisa tamasi madha. So, Rajasa Dhruti and Tamasa Dhruti is easy to understand now, is it not? The differences I am saying between Sattvika Rajasa and Tamasa. Whether it is Buddhi, whether it is Dhruti, whether it is Jnanam, whether it is Karmam, doesn't matter, or Karta, doesn't matter. How Sattvika Rajasa Tamasa makes a whole difference. This is the important thing. Sattvika Rajasa Tamasa makes the whole difference in all these things, whether it is Jnanam, or Karmam, or Karta, or Buddhi, or Dhruti. Anything, doesn't matter. Sattvika Rajasa Tamasam will very clearly tell you where it belongs to. Isn't it? Where it belongs to. So, idea behind all these things, you will know where we stand then. If you know these things, is it not? That's benefit. If you know this Sattvika Rajasa Tamasam in all these things, the benefit from that, you will know where you stand or where we stand in that. It is not for studying the verses in the Bhagavad Gita. It is for studying ourselves. Not for studying the verses to preach to others, but to study ourselves. So you can see yourself like a photograph. Like a photograph, you can clearly see yourself. So, here you can see many people, when you observe these things, when you look at it in the proper way, like the way Krishna has spoken, if you look at it, you can see that most of us are in the Tamogunam. Not even in the Rajogunam. Tamogunam is what is present in all of us, isn't it? So, one person, when he read Bhagavad Gita, he said that, looks like it's my story, he said. He was able to identify with it so strongly. He said, I did not understand anything else, what Krishna was saying. But when he came to this part of Bhagavad Gita, he says that these verses fits with me very well. He was able to relate with that. He could see that. So, all my symptoms are spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, he says. What is that symptoms? Sleeping, fear, anxiety, lamentation, then hungering, vishadam. So, and always lamenting about asat, and crying about that, and feeling distressed about that. And all these things happen at the time of death also, isn't it? So, at the time of death also, this is exactly what happens. That when you are leaving this world, you are still not aware of any of these things. Suppose, imagine that. What will happen? Suppose somebody dies in this world, without being conscious of all these things, what Krishna has spoken, he will still be hankering about the family, about the wealth, about the body, and about his experiences in the world, what he had, his enemies, his friends, all these thoughts will come to his mind in a way like that. So, and you can see here that in such places that everything will be very depleted, in the sense that if we go to such places where this tamogunam is present very strongly, if you go there, even whatever little sattogunam you have in you, it will suck that from you. It will suck it. Therefore, as much as possible, wherever there is distress, ushadam, shogam, a hankering and lamentation, and those people who have got that, they shouldn't go out in from the house. They should stay inside the house. Not to go out and start distributing to everybody else their miseries and other things. So, because these people, they distribute their depression very freely to others. You can also have a little bit of mine. They give you very freely those things, isn't it? So, that depression, tension, and distress and all these things, and they will all come with the time of death. And there are many reasons for that. For example, because of this, there are many reasons for that. In olden days, people lived in one place, isn't it? They didn't live in hundreds of places in the world. Therefore, they live in one place, and when they die, they are buried or burned in the same place. And that presence of that jadam, dead body, which is jadam, where there is no chaitanyam present in that body, that itself is an impure place. See, impure place. So, therefore, to engage in various kriya, various purificatory activities performed to purify that place and the atmosphere, there are so many processes in the Vedic traditions they have included. So, that's the other side of it. That means when there is a presence of this, that's why when we say purification, we really don't understand what that purification means, isn't it? It's like you can see, fire is capable of purifying, water is capable of purifying, mantra is capable of purifying. So, in deity worship, and similarly, before you start any worship, there's a purification always. What are we purifying? Purifying is this, that presence of the tamogunam in the atmosphere. Tamogunam in the atmosphere. Simplest method, of course, is to chant the holy name. A lot of chanting the holy name will purify the place. But Vaidika system is that there is certain processes by which you can purify a place. Through water, purify the water. Through the water, you purify things. Many, many Brahmana families, when they read Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita or any spiritual activity or doing the deity worship, you will see in the deity worship, they will keep two pots right in front of them with water inside. And after every offering, they'll touch the water. They'll just touch the water as a purificatory process. It's necessary for purification. So, shokam, vishadam, otherwise all these things, in others, everyone's mind, whatever that is present, it will affect others as well. There is no question about that. It will affect others. So, some people won't have that so much. But in others, you can see they're frightened about death. When is it going to happen, that fear? So, but Rajogunam and Tamogunam, all that is inside us, and our selfishness added to that, which is nothing but Ahangaram. All this is thing is an energy inside. And from Andaryami, or from the Atma inside, just like the sparks that comes from the fire, these different powers will keep coming out from inside. And anything, for example, if you take the lust, anger, all those things are also energies in different forms. So, and that can come in the form of some thought waves, chittavritti, it will come through us. And if it comes as chittavritti and goes away, it won't have that much effect on us, big effect. But suppose any one of them, if it comes as a thought wave and it goes away, it doesn't matter. It's not so damaging. But if it gets established strongly inside, any of these emotions like lust, anger or greed, any of them, if it gets very strongly established inside, and it will, suppose you are engaged in the bhakti, devotional process, or in the cultivation of knowledge, you can see that these different emotions influencing your bhakti and jnanam as well. It will influence. If it has come as a thought wave and gone, it is not damaging. But suppose lust, anger, greed or any of those, anger or envy or pride, ahankaram, and malsaryam, competition with others and all these kind of things, if any of them gets very strongly inside, you will notice that they will even influence your bhakti or even your knowledge of the self. So therefore, that is the reason when we go into the vicinity or the association of the Mahatmas, you feel a big difference there. Because this jnanam inside, jnanam, that experience of the knowledge inside a person, realized soul, it's nothing but chit-shakti in that person. His chit-shakti inside is. And that is what is they call it as kala. It's a kala. And bhakti and the bliss, devotion is bhakti, anandam is bliss, vairagyam, renunciation, that's all different kala in a person. Similarly, equally, the dreaming and shogam, shogam means hankering, and vishadam, always in a lamentation mode. All these things are similarly forces operating within our mind, within our mind. So if you have that, naturally it will affect others, isn't it? Suppose you meet up with somebody who is in a very bad mood, we call it as bad mood, and then it will, if you talk to him, it will have an immediate effect on you, is it not? You may not be conscious of that. You will see, oh, he's having some difficult time, and it will affect your happiness also. So you can observe this. Suppose a person has woken up and he's sitting there and he's yawning. He's just woken up and he's yawning. He wants to sleep more. And he has slept well, but still he wants to sleep more. And if you are sitting there next to him, you will also start yawning. Have you noticed that? Suppose you are sitting next to somebody, even in satsangam, you are sitting next to someone and he is constantly yawning. After a while you look for yourself, you will also start yawning. Infection. Like that. So, therefore, Krishna is saying here, tamogunam, that is this capacity of able to spread very fast towards others. So, that is why in tamogunam, Krishna says, tamoguni, Krishna says here, dhridisa partha tamasi. Dhridisa tamasi mada, he says here. That willpower is in the tamogunam. Willpower is there in the rajogunam and sattogunam also, tamogunam also. But if the willpower completely goes away from inside, then he is a jnani. If it has gone away inside, completely he is a jnani, he is a realized soul. So, actually, why? Because willpower is nothing but a expression of the personality. Expression of the personality. And it is not easy to wipe off that personality from inside. It is always either in the tamogunam or rajogunam or sattogunam, this personality, isn't it? So only when you are completely established in the self, so rupanishta, it is called, it becomes akhandagaram. That means it's not anymore limited to the body. It spreads everywhere. And then everything that is what is happening in the creation, pravancham, in the whole creation, that is his Ichha Shakti. That means he is in one with the Satyam Dhridhi in the whole creation. And it is due to his desire then many big things are happening in this world. This is a jnani's state. He does not do it himself. Because his Dhridhi has become Satyam, therefore his Ichha Shakti has completely taken away the ahankaram from inside. Willpower has gone away from him. Therefore, he is in relationship with the, he is completely in relationship with the willpower of the Supreme. Willpower of the Supreme. And Krishna's Ichha Shakti and that Jnani's Ichha Shakti has become one then. Become one. So, if it is not in relationship with Krishna's Ichha Shakti, Krishna's Ichha Shakti is what is ruling this world, isn't it? This world should stay like this, and all what is happening here is Krishna's Ichha Shakti. When we say Krishna's Ichha Shakti, it is executed through Pragati here. But it is actually Krishna's Ichha Shakti. So, Krishna's Ichha Shakti is the one which rules the world. Yet, Jnani, whose ego has completely gone away, means all the willpower has gone away, personality has gone away, then he is always in contact with that Krishna's Ichha Shakti. That is what is working through him. He is not independent anymore. Whatever that's happening through him is Krishna's Ichha Shakti then. What is happening with us now is this modes. That is what's happening through us. Our Ichha Shakti is completely mixed with the Rajogunam and Tamogunam. And therefore, it has no relationship with Krishna's big Ichha Shakti, what is ruling the world. So, therefore, if it is not in unison, in agreement, union with Krishna's Ichha Shakti, it will remain in one of the other planes. So, all the three planes Krishna has spoken here. Sattvika Dhriti, Rajasik Dhriti, Tamasik Dhriti. So, wherever we are situated, accordingly, we will be able to do some service in this world. In the Sattvagunam, there will be bhakti inside. Shanti, Anandam, bliss inside. So, if it is there, then you will enjoy being with them. Enjoy being with such people. And peace inside, Shanti, everything will be there. In the Rajogunam, you will go with such people who are selfish and who are only concerned about their own happiness in this world. And in that process, some of your selfish interests will be fulfilled. Desires will be fulfilled. But that's also not so bad compared to the other last one, Tamoguni. Tamogunam is a black hole. You remember this black hole in the space? Let's say I told you there was one devotee who was doing a research on that black hole. That black hole, they're saying, this black hole, it sucks everything into it. So, apparently, in the space, they say, these astronomers say that there are sometimes what they have observed in their telescope, that's gone from the space. Because this black hole has sucked the whole thing inside, and you don't know where it has gone. And this is Maya. And this is where we are doing our research, in the middle of all these things. So you can imagine what sense it makes, isn't it? They themselves are saying this, that they have sucked this, a lot of planets and a lot of very illuminating planets, this black hole has sucked inside. They have found out that somehow. And then they are saying to us that, so similarly, Tamogunam is like that. It will completely suck you inside that. And therefore, Gartham, it is called in the Shastra. Gartham means a deep pit, where once you're gone, you won't come back from that. It's gone inside completely. Tamogartham, they call it here. So, when people are in that state, if you go and sit next to them, they will suck the whole thing out of you. Then, just like when you're leaving then, it will be like the balloon, which is called the air is gone. Like that, you'll become in that way, depressed. Because they are actually the incarnations of Tamogunam. And that force is very powerful inside them. So, if you look at that Tamogunam, you have to understand it properly, because Tamogunam, when we say all these things, it doesn't mean that Tamogunam is not necessary in this world. So, and the Absolute Platform, Tamogunam is also manifestation of Sri Parvati's one potency, isn't it? That is why one of the names for her is Tamasi. In Devi Mahalpyam, she is addressed as Tamasi. So, Nidra Bhagavati Sashal Yaya Samohide Jagat. In the Bhagavatam, you can see this. When she put the whole world into sleep, When Krishna appeared, you remember? When she put the whole Mathura, Gokulam, all places, everybody, Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda Devi, and all the watchmen who were standing there, Kamsa's men, they were all went into sleep. How could that be? Because she is controlling that. Yaya samohidam jagat. She can put the whole world into, and she does every day, is it not? Put everybody into sleep every day. So that means it is necessary for this world to go on. In the night time we have to sleep, and in the morning we have to get up. So if the tamasic power has not given us that blessing, we won't get sleep at night if she doesn't put us into sleep, isn't it? So when you don't get sleep at night, Yadevi Sarvabodeshu Nidra Rubena Samstida, chant this mantram and pay your respects to her to give you sleep. Namastase, 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 namo nama. So if she give you the mercy, you can sleep. Otherwise, a lot of people don't get sleep at night, is it not? So it is at least at that time you will see sometime, if you observe people, about 10 o'clock at night, they'll become very active. Where this power is coming from? And if you see their enthusiasm at 10 o'clock at night, it comes very strongly. And it is some samskaram from previous life. It's coming like that. It's coming like that. So they don't belong to the human species. Because all their enthusiasm is in the night. Whole day, if you look at them, in a very sleepy and tired mood, and they can't do anything, about 10, 11 o'clock, they have become very active in this life. Where the energy had come, nobody knows. And when it comes in the morning, when the sunlight comes, they become very down, like the owl. See how the owl is? They go like that, isn't it? So, in night time to sleep, you need that grace, Sri Parvati's grace to sleep, isn't it? But it should not come at the wrong time. It should come at the wrong time. So, similarly, Rajogunam, you need it when you are working. Otherwise you can't do any work, isn't it? Say for example, if you are chanting the holy name, at that time Rajogunam should not come. Because if Rajogunam comes, what happens? There won't be proper chanting, would it? So at that time Sattugunam should stay. So different situations, different gunam is necessary. At night time to sleep, Tamogunam is necessary. Daytime if you want to work, Rajogunam is necessary. If you want to engage in spiritual activities, Sattugunam is necessary. So, not only that, while engaged in chanting, if you keep on yawning all the time, that's not good. So, sometimes you can observe people, when they yawn in the Salsangam, it will appear as though that at the devastation time, Mahavishnu is going to suck the whole planets into his body, such a power, they will suck the whole people inside. So Krishna said all these things as a symptom of that tamogunam inside. Swapnam bhayam shogam. All that Krishna says there, isn't it? Swapnam bhayam shogam vishadam madam. They are all the nature of the tamogunam. Shogam, and some people are like that. So much distress always, in a distressed mood. So sometimes, even among the devotees, when they get this kind of mood, sometimes we give them names also like that. Shoga Muga Ananda. Something, names like that. Because always he is Shogam, always he is Mugam. He won't speak anything, always depressed. That day he is a devotee as well. So we change his name, Shoga Muga Ananda. There is no other way, because Shogam, Bhayam, Shogam, Vishadam, all these things is nothing but Madam. There is no reduction in this Madam, Ahangaram inside. Madame vacha na vimanche durmedaha. Durmedasa means his mind is not, intelligence is not very good. It's dushta buddhi, bad intelligence. And buddhi is not working. Buddhi is not working properly. And therefore, such people, they will find it very difficult to hear. Shravanam is difficult for them. Shravanam is difficult for them. And if you lecture to such people for an hour, it will all be a waste of time. It's not going to help at all. Because nothing will get inside. That is the problem. So, nothing will get inside. That is a difficulty. There was a, you know, in this Reader's Digest, there was a story about this. It says here, you know, small children, when they are small, they'll do all sorts of things, each other, isn't it? One will bite the other sometimes. Some people don't give up biting, even when they become 30 years old. They still bite. Yeah. So, so once it so happened that one child beat another child, so the other mother of the child who was beaten, her mother, his child's mother came and complained to this child who was beaten, his mother. So this mother told the child, you shouldn't do that to other children, because first she gave him, scolded him and told him, you shouldn't do such things anymore. So this child became very serious. So if you start biting others like this, and biting others and beating others, then they will not play with you, the mother said to them. And they will, you won't get any chocolate, because these are the things what the mother uses, isn't it? And then the other children will isolate you, they won't give you any company. So about half an hour, the mother spoke to the child in this way. The child is looking at the mother very seriously when the mother is saying all these things. So mother thought the child may have got hurt, because the mother feels always like that, isn't it? So afterwards, finally mother says, to pacify the child, don't you think everything what I've said is the right thing? Just to get a confirmation, to make sure that the mother child is understood. The child says, and then the child says to him, why are you looking at me like this? So so mother says to the child, you're still looking at me, you're not saying anything. She said, no, I was looking that between your two teeth there is something green color coming. What is that? The child is asking to the mother. So in other words, whatever the mother has spoken, nothing has gone inside. All he was doing was, when she was speaking, because of this tamasic dhriti inside, nothing was going in. The child was only looking at the mother's teeth and saw something greenish color there, whatever it was. So he's asking, after all that, what is that thing on your teeth? He says that. So, so even something very seriously spoken, it will not go in. It will not go in. So, that will happen in Satsangam also. We are saying so many things. But some people will look at you and don't know what they are thinking in their mind, what's going inside their mind. So, and they will ask something, they will be looking at you, they're looking at all other things around you. What is there? What is this doing? What's that doing? And thoughts will be going in all other different directions. So, basically what it is that in tamogunam, shravanam is not possible. Tamogunam, shravanam is not possible. That is tamogunam. And in the rajogunam, as soon as you hear something, our intelligence inside will interpret it in a different way. So you can see the problem. In tamogunam, it will not go inside. In rajogunam, as soon as you hear, the whole thing will be interpreted by rajogunam in a different way, and the wrong message will go inside. So that interpretation, we can say, problem. Only in sattugunam proper shravanam is possible. All this is there in the Upanishads. That's where it's coming from. In Chandokyam, if you read Chandokya Upanishad, you will see there that sangalpam dhridhi kamam. And in Sanat Kumara Maharshi gives the instructions. A lot of topics he is discussing there. Karanam, karmam, karta, jnanam, buddhi, dhridhi. All these things Krishna has spoken here. Now, after all these things, Krishna is going to talk about the next thing called sukham, happiness, isn't it? Because this sukham is also an after effect of all these things. So the same thing in the Upanishads, they mentions this, that once Bhrigu goes to Varuna and ask him, instruct me about Brahman. Instruct me about Brahman. Varuna says to him, you yourself find out. That's how he told him. Because only then it will make sense. All the rishis, that was their system. They wouldn't instruct you about everything. Not like today what we feed everything on a plate and people take it. No. They will tell you, inquire, inquire, inquire and find out yourself. Because Brahman is not a matter, product like that you can find out, isn't it? So, Prabhu, he told him, Varuna says to him, by how to understand Brahman, that you have got Brahman, understand, realize Brahman or not, that after knowing that, if you don't want to know anything anymore further, then you have got it. That's how Varuna told him. Varuna said to Prabhu, that after knowing that, you don't want to know anything anymore further, then you know that you have got the Brahman. That is the nature of the Brahman. So, absolute fulfillment, in other words. So he goes and asks this to, Bhrigu asks this Varuna, and Varuna says to him, only through austerities you will realize it. You will realize it. Try to understand, realize Brahman in that way. So that is why in the Bhriguvalli it is called, in the Taittiriya Upanishad you will see a whole chapter, Bhrigu and Varuna conversation. He mentions there, first step, annam brahmedi vyajanad. First in the, begins from the level of matter, completely dull matter. From there he begins. He says here, from the physical level. And you observe everything, how much satisfaction you get from the matter. From the physical level, what satisfaction it brings. That you will find out very easily. From the physical level, it cannot bring that realization of Brahman. It will not happen. Similarly, yuvasyad, a young person, young man, he ashishto, dradishto. That means he is very ambitious, and he is also, he has got a very strong body, and he is capable of working. Those two things are not necessary. He requires wealth also. He's talking about a young person. And vittasya purnasyal, that there's plenty of wealth in this world. So, initially, by working hard, earning a lot of wealth, or acquiring a lot of wealth in this world, and it's all on the physical plane, isn't it? Physical plane. But on that physical level, whatever you have achieved, you will know eventually that it is not satisfying, no fulfillment inside. That you know, even among the rich people, after they have realized, they have acquired a lot of wealth in this world, then they realize it, that this is not complete in itself. Life is not a fulfillment, isn't it? For fulfillment doesn't come to them. So, that is what Upanishad says here, that at that stage you will know that that fulfillment has not happened. And if Upanishad says, if you don't understand this, what Upanishad is saying, try your own and see what happens. Work hard, earn a lot of money, a lot of wealth, and see how much satisfaction comes inside. Fulfillment comes inside. So, and not only that, you'll also realize that unless you have some piety to your credit from previous lives, or your prarabdham is there, wealth is not going to come like that in this world. Up to a certain limit, isn't it? A certain limit, everybody will have something, but large amount of wealth is not going to come unless there is some piety behind it, reason behind it, isn't it? And even if you have acquired a lot of wealth, you will know that it's all a waste of time at that point. So, so that is why Shastram says this, that some people have gone and made so much wealth in this world, a lot more than what they need. And because they have no spiritual understanding also in life, they are also confused about this wealth, what to do with it. Therefore, then they follow some sannyasi or swamiji or somebody like that, they go after them. these people have got the wealth in them. The sannyasi has got shanti inside. They say, you give me your shanti and I give you this wealth. They exchange that between them, isn't it? So they hand over the money to them and buy the shanti from there. And Swami gets the money from him and he loses his shanti inside. Shanti inside. That's what it is happening many places. It's what's happening now. So therefore Swamis have no peace inside. It has become like this. And they lose all their shanti and by handing it over, collecting all the wealth from them. So most of the Swamis are having this problem because that the wealthy people have come and they handed over the money and they bought the samadhanam or shanti from them and they've gone from them. And these people, Swamiji's also got a problem. After getting all this wealth, they don't know what to do with it. And they're running around, not knowing how to spend that money. Because Swami's level also is difficult because sense gratification can't have it to the way it was before. So what will you do with all this money? So this situation, because you can see this, that to get that shanti or samadhanam or purnata will not come from any of these things, isn't it? If you have a lot of wealth, you can buy a huge house and live there, or buy some 10 or 15 cars and park them in front of the house. Some houses you can see. There's one house in Lechmoida, I see, has always 10 or 12 cars in the front, all covered up with the, you know, the cover. They put it on. And I've never seen anybody there in the house, so I don't know whether even lives there or not. Whenever you go there, you see this. 10, 12 new cars are parked. And they pay somebody to maintain them. Whatever it is, the point is that you can do all of these things. There's nothing else you can do with the money. What else will you do? It doesn't have any other understanding. So, and things like that, or you can buy a lot of gold if the gold prices are high and stock it somewhere in the bank or places like that. So anything, any of these things will not give you any that shanti or happiness what Krishna is talking about. So it is after that the next step comes in our own life. What is that step? Annamayam has gone and pranamayam comes in. That you start looking at your own body in little bit and start realizing that there is this thing called pranayamam and other things, and you start operating on an energy level now. Energy level. And energy building up through pranayama and other processes, you are building up the energy inside. But even after doing that, it is not satisfying. After a while, yogis also feel desperate after that. So, because they realize it that even after doing all these things, the mind is still wavering. Mind is still giving problems inside. So, if you try the yogic process and try to control the mind in that way, you will still feel that there is an imperfection there. There is no fulfillment there. And sometimes the mind gets some control over it, but not the full control of the mind. It goes away again. So, especially when you are absorbed in the spiritual activities, the mind comes to it for some time under control, but later on it goes away. So, then is the inquiry begins, is there anything beyond than this? Annamayam, pranamayam, manomayam. Then that is when what we call as the Vijnanamaya Kosham comes. So Vijnanamaya means, Vijnanamaya when he comes in, what will happen is that Vijnanamayam Vijana, this is all there in that, if you read Taittiriya Upanishad, you will see between Bhrigu and Varuna, discussions there. So Vijnanamayam Vijana, Vijana means, so what is the goal in all these things? Where is that going to take me into? Who I am? This inquiry comes. And why did I get into this situation in bondage all the time? Because you can see that when you are in the Annamayam level, in the lowest level, very soon, if you have a little bit of intelligence, you will realize it, that this wealth I am working so hard is ultimately all useless. I am going to leave it and go from here. I have no other benefit from that. That doesn't take very long. That realization will come. So, Annamayam is easy to cross over. Pranamayam, some people find it difficult with Annamayam itself for a long time. So, how and then you go through step by step to pranamayam, manomayam, vijnanamayam. These are all steps in our progress in spiritual path. So some point you realize it that I am in bondage. How do I free myself from this position? How to become perfect? And vijnane yajna tanute karmani tanudeghila vijnanam sarvadevam brahma jeshta upasade vijnanam through vijnanam yajnam tanute. So it is at that time you will start realizing the wealth is there, it should be utilized, it should not be stored up. What will you do with it? And he starts turning his life into a yajnam. In the Bhagavatam, all these are in a subtle way spoken. That Varaha Avataram, Varaha appearance, is all about yajnam, isn't it? And in the third canto. And you can see that through yajnam, how to make their life, that swarthada, selfishness, to take away from inside. So, in order to weaken that ego inside, yajnam is necessary. Yajnam is the process. Giving away, throwing out, getting rid of things, once ahangaram gets swarthada or ahangaram becomes weakened, and in that process it becomes, its power grip on us gets weakened. Next step is anando brahmedi vijanath. So when through yajnam he got purified, which is karma yogam in another way, what is spoken, he started realizing that there is a certain perfection inside me without being the help of the body, the mind, the intelligence, ego, or the senses. None of them, in their all their absence, there is a perfection in me. To come to that state takes a long time. That perfection I am experiencing now is not coming from the body. It's not coming from the mind. And it is not coming from the mind. It is not something I can work hard and get it. I can't get it that way. I cannot manufacture it inside. And it is not limited either. And it is unbroken. And it remains perfect and perfect all the time. So that perfection, purnada, you start recognizing inside. That is the state of that vijnanamayam you have crossed and come to anandamayam. That without any external factor, from inside comes a certain ananda, happiness. Anandam. Now our concept is at the moment, I have to work hard, earn money. If I have a lot of money, I'll have some happiness from that. Nobody is denying that. There is some happiness. But perfection is not there. All that happiness is coming, going business. But when we have come through this annamayam, pranamayam, manomayam, vijnanamayam and come to the anandamayam stage, you will realize that this anandam or happiness what you are working for, or looking for, or which has to be perfect, that means at no point in time it should lose, you should lose that. That cannot come from outside, it has to come from only from inside. It cannot come from inside. It has to come from inside. And you are recognizing that. You are recognizing that it is inside, not outside. And this you have to realize it at that point. Just like you have this glass on the nose, tip of the nose you kept there. And in my one of the senior moments, I am looking for the glass elsewhere. I'm looking for this glass elsewhere. Through the glass I'm looking for it, because of the mind is gone. So somebody is pointing out to me, says, look, the glass you are looking for is on your own nose. And I realize it is there, isn't it? Similarly, in the same thing will happen to us. After doing all these things in this world, we will realize one day there's nothing here to look forward to. What you ultimately want is that the recognition inside, that vastu, what you are looking for, where anandam, shanti is coming, is from inside. So that anandam or shanti, what is inside, is the driving force in the life of sukham. That is the driving force of this sukham Krishna is going to talk about now. That sukham, misunderstood we have in different ways. Sukham, sukham we say, oh, I'm feeling well, I'm feeling good. When somebody asks you, how are you? You say, I'm very well, you say. What's that well means? What does it mean? that well doesn't mean anything, isn't it? Because as soon as you say you are well, next moment something else comes. Totally opposite. So where is that well? Very well is gone. So here Krishna's point is, understand what this word sukham means. Sukham is that stage when you have come away from the annamayam, pranamayam, manomayam, jnanamayam. And finally when you come to anandamayam stage, where you recognize that there is no happiness in the world outside, that the real happiness, what you call it as happiness, proper happiness, is that happiness what is already inside. If it is not coming from there, it cannot come from anywhere else. This is the principle. Krishna is going to explain that very well in the next few verses. So, our nature and that power, that sukham, anandam, that is the that is actually the driving force behind all our action in this world. Because that sukham inside is what we want. But in the wrong place we are searching everywhere else in the world. In the body we are searching. Senses we are searching. In the world we are searching. Everywhere we are not getting it. Finally we write it off. It's not there, it's not there, it's not there. Isn't it? So wherever you find that sukham, happiness, you will go and stay there. You will go and stay there. So this anandam is also a swarupam of Atma. Is it not? Satya Chitta Anandam. It's a swarupam of Atma. And Krishna swarupam is anandam. Krishna swarupam is anandam. So anandam or fulfillment or purnada or perfection is also Krishna swarupam. So wherever it is there, it will go and stand there. So that is why Sandra Ananda Avabhoda Almagam. Sandram Anandam Avabhodam. Three things in the Krishna's Swarupam, Krishna's identity is spoken like that. Sandram, concentrated. Sandram. Completely concentrated. Anandam and Avabhodam, awareness. All these are the Swarupam of Krishna or Swarupam of the soul as well. And then after this stage has come to Bhrigu. Then Bhrigu did not go to Varuna anymore after that. Bhrigu's doubts have gone. Bhrigu went away. Bhrigu did not go back to Varuna after that. Because Varuna knew that Bhrigu won't come back again. Saisha Bhargavi Varuni Vidya. You will see this in the Taittiriya Upanishad. Parame Vyoma Pratishtidam. Because he got established in that Ananda stage. Therefore, Bhrigu had no more questions after that. He was not looking for any more knowledge after that. So sukham. Sukham means what we get, that very limited pleasure from outside. That's not what Krishna is talking about here. When he is talking about sukham here. Isn't it? Not that, this is important thing, not that happiness when I am a personality. Not the happiness I will experience as a personality. When a personality, if you are experiencing any happiness, that happiness is experienced by ahankaram. You see that? When you say, I enjoyed this, who enjoyed? Ahankaram enjoyed. Ahankaram is enjoyed. It is not that sukham, Krishna. That is not sukham. So, personality-based happiness. Suppose I am as a personality, if I say to you, I have enjoyed this movie, or enjoyed this sport, enjoyed that music, anything. It is based on that personality-based. That is not sukham. That is not sukham. That clarity is necessary to understand this properly. Because that sukham is limited. Isn't it? That sukham is limited. And there is another sukham which we experience in the deep sleep state. That is the sukham Krishna is talking about. Not the sukham that you experience based on your ahankaram. Limited, temporary happiness. That's not what Krishna is talking about. Krishna is talking about that sukham when you are not a personality in the deep sleep state, and the happiness what you have experienced there, that sukham Krishna is talking about. Sukham, who said this? Prahlada said this. Sukham indriyagam deityo. He said, sukham is sensual, what you are talking about. He says to his brothers, friends, isn't it? He says to them. So, in the deep sleep state, there is a bliss, is it not? And a fulfillment. Some kind of sleep, deep healing inside. That's what happens in the deep sleep. You're tired the whole day, worked hard, tired, went to deep sleep, and when you came out, everything was re-energized, isn't it? You got a completely refreshed everything. And you feel that nobody can deny that, what you get back in that deep sleep state from the... When your personality has disappeared, but you have experienced a tremendous happiness inside without a personality, without being a personality, and you wake up in the morning and you say that, I had a good sleep. You enjoyed that very much, isn't it? So that's the only thing we don't get bored about. Day after day after day we can sleep like that. How many years you have been sleeping now, every single day from birth till now? I'm not bored still. Even now I say, if I can get a good 10 hours sleep in the night, it will be very good. You feel like that, isn't it? So even when you got bored in this life, what's the solution? Deep sleep. Isn't it? And you get a deep sleep. So, even in satsangam, if you got bored, what's the next solution? Deep sleep. Isn't it? So, when you woke up after the deep sleep, it's over. And sushupti. So, sushupti, he has got this advantage, that deep sleep, and also it is timeless. That's another benefit. This deep sleep state has got all these good things. It's timeless. You don't have to look at the clock, don't have to worry about the time. You don't have to worry about the place where you are. You don't have to worry about, say, individuality. Personality is not present there. So, it is a amazing thing what is going on in everybody. It's like a magic show, this deep sleep state. Isn't it? So, if you look into that, you will see that if I am able to get that happiness what I got in the deep sleep state, compare that with what you get from the television or the cinema or from your holidays, it's nothing. Is it not? I mean, you can agree with that, is it not? What television or cinemas or music or sports or holidays or whatever, happiness you are going to get from that, you can't even compare that with what you get in the deep sleep state, isn't it? Because main thing is, when you go into the deep sleep and dissolves there is no time factor. That's the first thing. There's no time factor. And that you also you acknowledge that, because sometimes, suppose you are sleeping very deeply and I came and woke you up, first thing you'll be, oh, I only just slept, you will say. Why are you waking me up? I only just gone to sleep, you will say. And if you say to him that, oh, it's already bright outside, he'll say, oh no, I'm only going to sleep now. So, by now it's become bright again, you will say like this. That's why we like winter, 12, 14 hours continuously sleeping. And you only have to wake up if you have to go to work. Now when you come home, you can go to sleep early. But we like that. There's no question about that, because that is the highest happiness in this body, that deep sleep state. Nobody can deny that. Every other so-called happiness is coming and going. It does not give you that same perfect level of happiness what deep sleep gives. Without personality, without time, without ego, nothing. Isn't it? And you aren't even aware of the space even. All what's going on in the environment, the world, nothing is known to you at that time. I'm just mentioning this to make you conscious that sukham, 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 we talk about happiness in this world. How much misunderstanding we carry with us about happiness. We have completely gone in the wrong track, thinking that externally you keep on supplying things and make this happy, happy, happy.
that will not become happy. Because even happiness what Krishna is giving in the deep sleep is far, far higher than what you get from this world outside. That's the first principle. Then comes the other things, which will come to that later. So, you can see here that time you are not aware of, space you are not aware of, personality you are not aware of in that deep sleep state. And sometimes you are not even, if you got that deep sleep, you are not even aware either sleeping or you are standing, lying down or standing. Sometimes you know that in Bombay, when you travel in the train, you will see, because it's so packed, people are standing and sleeping, in deep sleep. They are. Because they have worked hard, heat, everything together and the crowd around you. People, they will stand and sleep. And you will be amazed to seeing that, how they could do that, is it not? So, and they will sleep. If you are standing on one side, all the pressure will be on you. If you're standing on this side, on this side. But you have to keep him standing. And he's enjoying his sleep, that person. Isn't it? But in the sleep also, when you... But look at this way. Sleep is tamogunam. Sleep is tamogunam. And when you look at it from the angle of prakriti, when you look at it from the prakriti's point of view, it is tamogunam. But in the sleep, there is one part there. That is why sattugunam, rajogunam, tamogunam. We say, sometimes say, I'm enjoying it. For example, that this sukham, happiness that's come from the deep sleep state, that has come without doing any asuric activity, demoniac activity. Generally, lot of sukham is coming from demoniac activity, is it not? Drinking or eating in a very voracious way, eating all sorts of things, rubbish, and thinking that this is good, that's good, advertisement and all kinds of things. From eating, then through sex life, through all other kinds of recreational activities, you try to create some happiness inside. But in all those things, they are all demoniac, asuric they are, asuric activities. But this sukham in the deep sleep state has come without any asuric activity. That's another side to it. Remember that. Without any asuric activity, you experience the sukham inside. So, because it is there, without asuric activity means demonic activity, still there is, we are allowed to have a little bit of sukham in this world. That is why we are able to live in this world. When Krishna gives us that deep sleep, Sri Parvati gives us that deep sleep, allow us to have that deep sleep in the night. And because there is some happiness coming from that, that is the reason why we are able to live in this world. Because you see here that through demoniac activities, whatever sukham you are getting from that, sukhaya karmani karoti loke, says Vidura to Maitreya, that whole world is working for sukham, to Maitreya Maharshi says, but they are not getting it, upadamamba, they are not getting it. But still, why are they working? The reason for that is that they know, even if I not get from here my sukham will come in the night from the deep sleep state. I'll get it from there. That is why we are able to live in this world. Suppose I was only going to get sukham from my asuric nature, asuric activities, you don't think you will be able to live here for very long. Very sooner or later, you will get fed up or you will even go. So, Krishna is saying here that you can also notice this, for if you don't sleep for a few days, what will happen? Then even if £1,000,000 somebody gives to you, you say, no, I want to sleep first. Isn't it? So, in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, it's all about Sushupti. Brihadaranyaka always talks about Sushupti, and it is one of the largest Upanishads in the whole. So, Samprasadaha, that what happens here? Mind goes and dissolves itself in that deep sleep state. And Brahmalina means mind is a power that has come from the Chit Shakti. Come from the Chit Shakti. It has gone back to its place. It's not there. Therefore, it is fully settled. But that is the reason why it didn't know anything. what happened at that time. And that only thing is, you didn't know what happened at that time. But all what you require is, if you know what is happening then that Sushupti stage becomes the realized stage. That's all. The only difference between Sushupti and self-realized stage is this. In Sushupti stage, you are experiencing the happiness, but you don't know what is happening because of Tamoguna. If that same experience in the Sushupti, if you are experiencing in the awakened state, means in full knowledge what is happening if you know, then that is self-realization. So what is happening is that tamogunam in the Sushupti state, which is nothing but avidya or ajnanam or ignorance as it is called, as soon as that ajnanam is taken out in the Sushupti state, you experience samadhi. That is why jagrat, sopnam, Sushupti, turiyam, the fourth state. You move from Sushupti to the turiyam. Normally, we don't get rid of that ajnanam, therefore we float in between the three, jagrat, sopnam, Sushupti. We are unable to come out of the three and we stay there. So, so that sukham in that, what you have experienced in that deep sleep state, which is nothing but the sukham of the Atma, Atma's presence inside, that is the driving force for us to work in this world, to work for happiness, to work for so many things, to become happy. So, and it is for the purpose of that sukham we are running around all over the world. And sukham is coming everywhere because sukham is a nature of Atma. Atma's manifestation is that sukham. So, in order to experience that happiness, only thing what is required is that I have to be present there. Because where do I experience the sukham? In me. If I am not there, there is no sukham either. Isn't it? So my own nature, my own identity is sukham. Is sukham. So, in the jagrat state, I have got extra. The body and the mind. And even then, I'm getting a little bit of sukham, happiness here and there, when I have got that body and the mind. And in the dream state, the body has gone, but the mind is there. Even then, I get a mixture of both, happiness and distress, in that dream state also. In the deep sleep state, body has gone, the mind has gone, only I am there. Only I am there. And even the ego has gone. Ego has gone. So I am perfectly situated in my identity as jiva, as satta, as mentions like that. And at that time, distress has no entrance. Distress has no entrance there. Because when you are in deep sleep, you can't experience distress, can you? So distress has no entrance there. Even if you want to have distress in deep sleep, it's not possible. So dukkham, opposite of sukham, it has no entry in the deep sleep state. Whereas in the wakened state, you have both happiness and distress. In the dream state, you have happiness and distress. In the deep sleep, distress has no entry. Distress has no entry. So what does that show? It's showing to us that somewhere inside us, there is a center which cannot be touched by the distress. That is the important principle from that. This is the conclusion of the rishis. They are saying to us, in these three states when you look at, what do you find? In the deep sleep state, there is no entry for the distress. That means somewhere inside us, there is a center somewhere where there is only happiness present. There are other two centers, wakened state and the dream state, where both happiness and distress can enter. But it is a deep sleep state, that center, where there is no entry for the distress. Even if you want to have it, you can't have it. That's the situation there. So that is why Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita, Dukkha Samyogam Viyogam. Remember that? Yam labdhva chabaram labam manyade nadiyam tada. Yasmin sthidovana dukkhena gurunavi vijayalyade tam vidya dukkha samyogam yogam yoga samyitam. Remember that? tam vidya dukkha samyoga viyogam yoga samyitam. Yoga state is that state. What is that experienced in that sushupti state? That is yoga state. That there is no happiness and distress, distress cannot entry there. Dukkha samyoga viyogam is not possible. That means that Krishna is saying here that every single day, material nature is showing you this, that center, every single day. She puts you there. But in order, you have to make that as your own, not given by material nature. You have to make it as your own. And when you start making it as it your own, that is called yogam. Tam vidya dukkha samyoga viyogam yoga sapnidam. That's that verse saying, sixth chapter. That verse, yes. Tam vidya gurunabhi vijayalyade tam vidya dukkha samyoga viyogam yoga sapnidam. Very precise definition. That dukkha samyoga viyogam has gone. That is yoga state, Krishna says. That means sushupti is closer to yoga state. Experience in the sushupti is yoga state. But knowledge is missing. In the absence of the knowledge, you are experiencing the yoga state. But if it happens with full knowledge, then it is samadhi state. And in that samadhi state, it's like the vacant state, but the problems of the vacant state doesn't exist then. Vacant, that means distress, doesn't come there at that time. So yoga means effort to reach that state. And we have to think about all these things, what Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita, to properly clarify, to get that clarity inside, that how does it all these things put together, how does it work? What is told in the sixth chapter, and what Krishna is saying now about sukham, without understanding what sukham is referring to, simply saying, thinking that, oh, sukham, oh, if I am in sattugunam, I will be in sukham, if I am in rajogunam, I will be in distress. It's no point just knowing that. It has to come to our own realizations in that way. That's what Krishna is saying here. So, that is why, to get that, all that what Krishna has spoken, you have to continuously reflect on that. Think about it, reflect on this, shravanam, mananam. And again and again, follow it through our own analysis all the time, anusandhanam or nididhyasanam it is called. And try to stay in that state as much as one can. So, sukham means it's a force that is behind that willpower, what Krishna has spoken before. So, it's a force behind the buddhi. It's a force behind the karmam. It's a force behind the jnanam. See, so many other things what we spoke before. Jnanam, karmam, buddhi, karta, and now finally the sukham. Dhridi and sukham finally. So the force behind all that is this sukham. Sukham is there behind that. Because there is sukham inside, that is why all this knowledge is necessary about other things. Because there, when you study Bhagavad Gita, you will see there that how everything, our pranam gets distributed, energy gets distributed in different ways, isn't it? But when sukham is proper understood, then all your effort is directed towards the sukham, then you will notice buddhi, jnanam, karta, dhridi, everything will become in the satyagam stage. It will operate in the satyagam stage. So it's for the sake of sukham we are engaging in karma. And it is for the sake of sukham I am trying to acquire the knowledge of the self. And it is for the sake of sukham I am living in this world. So, therefore, talk to me about sukham. That was Arjuna's one request, was to tell me about the sukham. So at that time, Krishna is going to talk about the sukham. Sukham also, Krishna says, belongs to three categories. And if you have come to this world, if you have come to this world, Harinamagirtanam says this. The one thing what existed before, I have started seeing everything as two. First, Dvaitam has begun. And it has to be put back into that oneness again. Bhavam has to be brought back. And therefore, get rid of that state of unconsciousness inside. And that sukham that has taken into three forms.
That's what Krishna is saying here. Sukham has gone in three directions, Satvagunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam. Dhridi has gone in three ways, Satvagunam, Sattvam, Rajas, Tamas. Sukham refers to the nature of Atma, soul's very nature is Sukham. Dhridi is Atma's energy, Shakti, Atma's energy. So, this Atma or Sukham, that is what we are experiencing in this world through Sattvagunam, through Rajagunam, and through Tamogunam. Krishna is saying that Atma's presence or Atma is Sukham, Atma is happiness. You know, in Bhagavad Gita I mentioned many times that the subject what we are talking about is one thing, but in different places you will address it by different names. Jiva is nothing different than Ahangaram. Ahangaram is not different from Manasa. Manas is not different from Buddhi. Isn't it? Similarly, here, Atma is not different from Sat. Sat is not different from Chitta. Chitta is not different from Anandam. These are all the features in one power. If you want to address it as Sat, you can address it as Sat. If you want to address it as Chit, you address it as Chit. If you want to address it as Anandam, you can address it as Anandam. Whichever way you address it, the vastu you are addressing is one. That is the important principle. So, and then, for clarity purposes, because of the presence of the modes of nature, how it affects everything, Krishna has spoken in these three different ways, Sattvagunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam. And when we are experiencing anything in the mode of goodness, anything in the mode of passion, anything in the mode of ignorance, actually what you are experiencing is that one vastu, Atma. Atma, that Sukham of Atma, is experienced in Sattvagunam, experienced in Rajagunam, experienced in Tamogunam in three different ways. Look at the next verse. That is verse number 36, yeah. Sukham tridanim trividham shrunume paradarshabha abhyasa dramate yatra dukhandam cha nigacchati sukham tridanim trividham shrunume paradarshabha Abhyasadramade yatram Dukhandam cha nigacchati. Sukham tvidanim trividham Shrinami bharadarshava Abhyasadramade yatra Dukhandam cha nigacchati. Krishna is saying three kinds of sukham hear from me. By practice, you can engage in these three kinds and ultimately end up in dukkha. Ultimately end up in dukkha. Abhyasa dramate yatra dukha andam cha nigacchati. If it is practiced, Krishna says, this sukham through abhyasam. And he says, dukha andam cha nigacchati. It will bring an end to the distress. Abhyasa parijaya davrute ramate iradim pratipadyade yatra yasmin sukhanu bhave dukha andam cha dukhavasanam. Dukha uvashamam nikachadi nischayena apnoti. So, let us understand that better. Here,
Bharadarshabha, Krishna says to Arjuna. Because Arjuna is the Rishabha in the Bharata's dynasty. Arjuna comes in there. So, in the Bhagavatam, that word Rishabhadev is there, isn't it? Rishabham actually means bull. Bull. In ordinary people, odd people who live their ordinary life in this world, Rishabhadev lived as a liberated soul among them. And he mentions that in the fifth canto, if you look, you will see there how he was himself. If you look into the fifth canto, in the fourth chapter, you will see there that the the second verse, Atacha Yatra Kaudumbiya Dharabhatyadayo Namna Karmana Vriga Srigala Evan Ichadobi Kadaryasya Kudumbina Uranaga Valsamrakshamanam Mishadobi Harandi. And later on in the eighth verse also, Kojichavatyobomyaya Pramadayaro. Sorry, this is the 14th chapter. Fourth chapter, if you look. That Tasya Hindra Spardhamano Bhagavan Varshe Nava Varsha Tadavadharyam Bhagavan Rishabhadevo Yogeshwara Prahasyalma Yoga Mayaya Sovarsham Ajanabham Nama Abhyavarshat. So Rishabhadev was a Yogeshwara. And Prahasyalma Yoga Mayaya, through the power of Yoga Maya, Sovarsham Ajanavam Namam Abhyavarshat. Tasya Indra Spardhamano Bhagavan Varshe Na Vavarsha Tadhavadhayam. Indra, out of envy, did not allow the rain to fall in the Ajanavam. Ajanavam, what it was then called. Rishabhadev, because of Spardha, because of envy towards Rishabhadev, Indra stopped rain. At that time, Rishabhadev, who was a Yogeshwara, and he was a king as well, Prahasyalpa Yoga Mayaya So Varsham Ajanavam Namabhi Abhyavarshat. That he arranged the rain to fall in the land without having Indra's help. That means even though he lived as an ordinary person in this world like anybody else, he was able to do extraordinary things what others could not do. And again, he'll say, Esham Khalu Mahayogi. That's the eighth verse. Bharado Jeshtaha Shrestha Guna Asidyen Edam Varsham Bharadamidi Vyabhidishandi. So out of those children who were born for him, Bharada was the eldest. Of all good qualities, we know about Jadabharada, who became Jadabharada later, isn't it? Shrestha Gunaha, all good qualities in him. Asidyen Edam Varsham Bharadamidi Vyabhidishandi. Because of his this planet, Bharadavarsham has come. The name has come to that. So, and everybody, Rishabhadev says there, everybody has called me because of this. He says there, they call me Rishabha. So, he was born in that Bharata's dynasty as Rishabha. And because Arjuna was born also in the same dynasty, he was called Rishabha, Bharata Rishabha. Says there, isn't it? That Shrunamay Bharadarshabha. Bharadarshabha. As name has come because of that. So, if you ask the question, then what is Arjuna such a great qualification? Because all creation is Arjuna got Bhagavad Gita. That's his qualifications. Isn't it? So, Bharadarshabha. There's also another thing that Bharada, who was born from Shakuntala, or Bharada was born as Shakuntala.
Shakuntala's son, isn't it? Kanna Maharshi's son. Kanna Maharshi brought him up, brought up Shakuntala, and through Shakuntala he was born, and Bharata was named. And that is also people say like that. But whatever it is, various reasons people give the reason why this name Bharata Varsham has come. Bharata mentions all these things. So here, they are all different. Now, what I'm saying is that there are different things spoken in the Puranam how Bharata Varsham name has come due to being ruled by Bharata, that great emperor Bharata. That's why it's come. But Bhrarube Brahmani Radhi hi esha te Bharadaha. Bha means Brahman, and self-effulgent and liberated souls and realized souls, because there were plenty born in that land, therefore it was called Bharatavarsham. This is also another explanation to that. Because so many people realized the self through the process of Vedic knowledge and realized the self, and therefore, and not only realized the self, they were established in the self and enjoyed that happiness of the self. Therefore, realized souls, because many have appeared there, therefore Bharatavarsham it is called. So, Rishabha who appeared in that Bharata race, that is a place where, it is seen in the Bhagavatam, that all over the world, people are running around for happiness. Isn't it? Running around for happiness. Everywhere in the world you see, whole life they work hard to become happy, to reach some position or fame or followers or whatever it is, unable to give up. But what was the speciality with this Bharata? Although he was the emperor of the planet, at a particular point in time in his life, threw away whole thing and walked into the forest, to Gandaki River, and sat there for self-realization. That is something creditable, is it not? How many kings do that today in this world? How many politicians or big leaders do that? Nobody. Practically none, is it not? Able to reach such a high state in Bharata's time. He was the emperor of the planet, Bharata. And after ruling the planet for a certain number of time, years, he decided that this is not what I am here for. That Satugunam inside, dictating from, and able to throw away everything, go to the forest, spend the rest of the life in the Gandaki River. Even though he did all that, he fell from there, isn't it? He had to take the birth of a deer, and then Jadabharata, and then he had to stay three lifetimes. That's another thing. But that determination in him to take to spiritual life and to realize the self before leaving the body, that was their special quality of these great kings. That is why in the Namaskandam, 9th canto, it's spoken so much about a list of kings there who have done this. Ambarish. And you will see a list of people there. Mandhadav, Yuvanashwan, and Purviravas. So many great personalities. They all ruled this world and enjoyed things very well. Kshatriya means they had that nature in them. But what was their greatness? They enjoyed and played their life to the top level. Enjoyed this world to the highest extent, because they were such people as far as sense gratification is concerned. But they all had this great quality in them. At some point in time they knew where to throw away everything, go to the forest and realize the self and go back to spiritual world. Munchukunda. So many mentions there, if you look into that 9th canto you will see. It's their story, Ishanukatha. That is the 9th canto. Isha means controller. Controller's story means kings, their story. So here, Krishna is saying here that this Rishabha also addressing him, that he threw away everything, went into the Gandaki rivers, and next life, he lost this life, and the next life he born as a deer, and then he born as Avadhuta later. And you are born in that family, he says to Arjuna. Krishna says to Arjuna. So therefore he says to him that you have to know what Sukham means. Because you are born in that, you will understand it, what it means. Your ancestors have followed that and you should know that. So that is why he says here
that Sugham Tvidanim Trividham and Shrunume Bharadarshaba. You know that why that word Bharadarshaba is used there? Because it is in your tradition, the great kings who have done this. So you also have the right to be like them, encouraging Arjuna that you are special in that way, because you will understand it when I say this to you. Krishna is saying this to him. Abhyasa dramate yatra dukhandam cha nigachadi. So there, very well, abhyasa, anusandhanam. Anusandhanam means this sukham what Krishna has speaking here. He says to Arjuna, you pursue this through in life and realize the self, brahmajnanam, from that. And normally for us, in our daily life, our material life is where all our attention is, isn't it? Shraddha is all in the material life. So even if you give attention to that, what you are experiencing there, so, and that experiences what's coming from that material life, we get involved in that and get sucked by that. So, instead of getting involved in that way, Krishna is saying, for self-realization, you don't even need any book. Abhyasa dramate yatra. That if you have learned how to turn that experience of the material life into spiritual direction. Abhyasa means not in the sense that it is practice. It's not in that sense. That means you have a good knowledge of this sukham, what it is. That means after experiencing this life and seeing that there is no happiness here in this. If you have come to that realization, you have crossed a long hurdle. Come out of it. And you don't need any book for that. But you need that brain to analyze it properly. That lot of happiness what you acquired here is all a waste of time. You have to come to that realization. And what Krishna is saying here is that you yourself will come out with the understanding that there is no sukham here. This is the first requirement. To realize that there is no happiness here. It's not easy. What we will say is, we'll learn all these things and then we'll still look for some happiness in this world. That's our nature. That's what Krishna is saying. So, because if your attention or Shraddha is there in the right place, he says, Abhyasa dramate yatra dukhandam cha nigachadi. If you come to that, if you give attention to that, your experiences in this world, Krishna says that very easily you will realize it, that there is no happiness in this world. Only then the proper inquiry of what is real sukham will begin. Otherwise it won't happen. So if you come out of this, a big step is crossed. Unfortunately we are not able to come out of it. That's the whole problem. We are always thinking there is some happiness here. That's why we say it's not too bad, isn't it? When somebody asks something. So first problem is getting out of this illusion that there is sukham here. There is no sukham here. And then Krishna is saying that if you have managed to get that done, then the other part is not so difficult. It is this that is holding us back, not the other part. That is the important point in that verse. Krishna is stressing that. That sukham that is why each of those words you have to look at very carefully. Abhyasat ramate yatra dukhandam cha nigachari. Even if you have come to this conclusion through abhyasam, that there is no happiness here, and then you will know that you are almost very close to dukhandam, end of your distress, if you have come to that conclusion. Because all the happiness here is either in these three modes, satvika, rajasa, tamasam, is it not? But we don't know that. If I'm happy, if I get a good feast, I think it's okay. Everything is nice in this world. Any sense gratification if you offer me, and if I enjoyed it well, I'm satisfied. What do I worry about? Then I'm in trouble. That's what Krishna said. Then you won't be able to this. Abhyasa dramate yatra dukhandancha nigachadi won't happen. I'm stuck there in that. So therefore, talking about anything, a transcendental happiness or happiness of the soul will have no
no access to us. That remains separate. Krishna is saying, the first thing is that Sukham tidanim trividam shrunume bharadarshava abhyasa dramate yatra dukkandam cha nigachati. Very important words if you analyze it. That these three kinds of happiness, what comes to us, and if you abhyasa dramate yatra, if you scrutinize them well, and if you come to this conclusion that it is all distress at the end, this, what is coming through these three kinds of sattvika, rajasa, tamasa, sukham, it's all distress at the end, then you will know that you have crossed a big step. Because then you are ready for the inquiring about the happiness of the soul. Proper sukham, what Krishna is going to talk about in the next few verses. We'll cut it after the few minutes.
चेदोदर्पणमर्जनं वोमहादावाग्निनिर्वापणं श्रेयकैदवचन्द्रिया विदरणं विद्यावदू जीवनम् आनन्दाम्बुदिवर्धनं पूर्णामृतास्वादनं सर्वात्मास्वपनं वरं विजयदे श्रीकृष्णसङ्कीर्तनम् नाम्नामकारि बहुधा निजसर्वशक्ति तत्रार्पिता निमिता स्मरणेन काला एतादृशी तव कृपा भगवन् ममावि दुर्दैवमीदृशमिहा जनिनानुरागाहम् तृणारभिशुनीचेन तरोरभि सहिष्णुना अमानिना मानदेन कीर्तनीय सदा हरी न धनं न जनं न सुन्दरीं कवितां वा जगदीशकामये मम जन्मनि जन्मनीश्वरी भवदाद्भक्तिरहेतुकित्वयि ऐनन्दनुजगिङ्गरं पदिदामां विषमे भवाम्बुदौ कृपया तव पादपङ्कजस्थितधूले सदृशं विचिन्तया गणदशुधारया वदनं गद्गदरुद्धया गिरा पुलकैर्निजिदं गदा वपु तवन्नामग्रहणे भविष्यति युगायुधं निमेषेण चक्षुषा प्राविशायुधं शून्यायुधं जगत्सर्वं गोविन्दविरहे नमे श्लिष्य वापादरदां विनष्टो माम् अदर्शनां मर्महदां करोतु वा यथा ददा वा विददा जलं वडो मत्प्राणनाथा सुनैव नाभराम्
सुखं त्विदानीं त्रिविधं शृणु मे भरदर्शव अभ्यासाद्रमते यत्र दुःखान्तं च निगच्छति. So, sukham. Sukham is there in this world. For example, when you are very hungry and if you had a nice prasadam feast, you feel sukham there, isn't it? So where did that sukham come from? Sukham came from that food, you have experienced that. But if you put that food on the mic, you won't get that sukham, isn't it? So, or if you apply it on the stomach, on the top, you won't get that sukham. Sukham is in the tongue, the taste. So, and if you, suppose you are dead, somebody is dead, and he used to like sweet rice before, when he was living, and suppose you pass the sweet rice onto his tongue, the dead person, he won't experience any sukham there, isn't it? So, so who is experiencing this taste? Is it the tongue? No. Through the tongue, Atma has come. And somebody has come through the tongue, and who appeared there? The same person who comes through the eye, watches a music, watches a event like sports or music or something like that, or a dance, and who enjoyed that through the eye, or one who goes through the ears and enjoyed some musical concert, or one who smelled some nice smell, who came through the nose and smelled and enjoyed that, or one who touched something very soft and enjoyed that touch, sense of touch. Who did that through the senses of touch? So, all these senses, experiencing all different kinds of sukham, isn't it? Shabdam, sparsham, rupam, rasam, gandham. Five things. Which means sound, touch, form, taste and smell. The five different kinds of smell. They are all sukham for us. So, who did that? Atma has done that. Coming through the... That is what we were saying before. Atma, when he wants to enjoy, he goes through the senses and enjoys the world. He goes through the mind and enjoys the world. He goes through the intelligence and enjoys the world. He goes through the ego and enjoys his own way. So everywhere, the force behind all these things is Atma, the self inside. So that is in the vacant state. Now if you go into the dream state, again, you can experience the same sukham. At that time, no senses are there. But mind is able to experience everything in the dream state also. In the dream state also, the same experiences what you have in the vacant state, you will experience and enjoy it in the dream state as well through the mind. So, and then what he does is, without all these things, what happens in the vacant state, or without anything what has happened in the dream state, that means neither seeing, tasting, touching, smelling, or hearing, and without even sankalpa of the mind, even without that, or even without dreaming, he goes and stays happily in the deep sleep. Isn't it? In the deep sleep, that's what happens. You know this Jagrat Sapnam Sushupti states, you understand it very well, and then you read Bhagavatam, you will see this, it's discussed everywhere. Wherever there was an opportunity to talk about it, Shobhra Maharshi will bring it in. Even what to talk about gopis also. Even to gopis, Krishna sends Uddhava to talk to them, and Uddhava talks to them about Jagrat Sapnam Sushupti. Gopis are generally considered, when you look at it from the mundane point of view, they were not very educated people. They never studied Shastram. They never had any particularly severe austerities or penances in life. And to them, Uddhava is talking about Jagrat Sapnam Sushupti. Krishna talks to gopis in the Savandha Panchakam, in the solar eclipse time, about Jagrat Sapnam Sushupti. And you will see this in several places in the Bhagavadam, particularly among the great devotees also. When there is a right time, Adhyatma Jnanam is given to them in a way through these three states of existence. So, while in the deep sleep state, the sukham or sukham is experienced in the deep sleep state also, in one way, one form, is it not? That's what is sukham. Krishna is referring to that as sukham, what you are experiencing in the deep sleep state. And then, in that deep sleep, there is sukham. Then the same sukham came in the dream state and the vacant state, in the form of the mind, to experience that, in the form of the mind. And again, not satisfied in the dream state, it came in the vacant state and wanted to experience the world and experience sukham there. So therefore they say, you'll see this in the Bhagavadam, that sa esha jivo vivara prasuti, that the birth of the mind from the whole of heart, not the mechanical heart, the other heart, which is present in the right hand side, that from there the mind is come out through a hole outside in order to experience this world. So to hear, mind came out through a hole like that, and then to hear, it created two holes and came out through these two holes. And to taste, it came out through the tongue. Then to touch and to enjoy, it came out through the it came out through the touch, sense, skin. So basically, this body is an empire of sukham. It's an empire of sukham, isn't it? Sukham inside wants to come out. Thanks. Sukham inside wants to come out. So looking, creating different outlets for sukham. In the deep sleep, it's experiencing sukham in its pure form. But because of avidya, we don't have the knowledge of it. Who is experiencing, how is experiencing, we don't know. We know it, we have it. In the dream state and the vacant state, the dream state, it makes one whole call to the mind and comes through that and tries to enjoy in the dream state the same sukham it's looking for. In the vacant state, it made all these holes in the body. Ears, eyes and nose and mouth and the skin, everything. And through all these holes, it comes out, the same sukham which is inside, it comes out and wants to enjoys it through that. So because of all these things, they say it's an empire of sukham, this body is, what's going on inside is. So, but the core or the very origin of that sukham is in the sushupti. In its most pure form, that sukham is in the sushupti. As I mentioned before, there is no time, there is no space, and there is no person, personality. All three are missing there. Therefore, the sukham there is in its most pure form. Most pure form. Then we are making up the next step lower down the level is our dreams. Sankalpam. And all the swapnam, dream state, you build another empire of sukham. We are looking for that also, how to enjoy a nice dream, isn't it? That dream state, what's happening? Again, we are dreaming in such a way, sometimes when you are in a very good dream, you don't want to come out of it, isn't it? That means inside that driving force, sukham, is experiencing inside, and then you don't want to leave it. What you didn't want to leave in deep sleep, now you don't want to leave in the dream state either. And when it comes to jagrat, vacant state, all it is so many holes only. These are all just nothing but holes. But only due to the presence of Atma, it becomes a sense. Otherwise, what else is there? There's nothing there, just a hole. Nothing more than that. So when that force inside that sukham, when it comes out through these holes, we are seeing things and we are experiencing things in different ways through the five senses. Because we think that anyone who has got an eye, he has got the power of vision. No, he doesn't have. Because the power of vision is a power of the self inside, Atma. Atma has got the power of vision. And it cannot be without that. And if you go behind a blind person and you clap from behind, sometimes he will turn back. If you go behind a blind person and you clap from behind, he will turn back. Why? Why is that? Because he doesn't have eyes. Why did he turn back? Because Atma inside knows that there is something present. Because Atma is there. The eye might not have the power to see. Because Atma is not working through the eye. So that reflection is there. And you will see that the instrument is not right. That's all it is. But the reflection is there. And inside, that awareness has come to him that somebody is behind. Somebody is behind. Similarly, you can see while dreaming also, the same thing happening. Without any of the senses, you are seeing in the dream state, is it not? You are seeing, you are hearing, and you are touching, experiencing. Lot of things happens in the dream state. For example, people who are very much attached to sex life, and they experience the sex life in the dream. How is that happening? Actually, none of their gross senses are activated. But inside, in a subtle level, the mind is able to enjoy that sexual happiness
even while in the dreams. So where is the power coming from? It shows us that all these things called the senses, the mind, everything is nothing, it's all powerless. Power is in the source, which is Atma, which is the soul. So, and all what's happening is, when you go into the deep sleep state, without the eyes, without the, there is no even effort for looking for happiness in the deep sleep state, isn't it? So there, everything is condensed. Happiness that comes through the eye, comes through the ears, comes through the nose, comes through the smell, touch, taste, everything, it's all condensed. And purely in the form of happiness, it remains inside. It remains inside. So if you keep on giving attention to that, you will realize that the very swarupam, or the nature of Atma, is nothing but bliss. Remember this? Satyachitta Anandam. Anandam is, or bliss, is the very nature of the soul. It's not a theoretical thing. It is through your own analysis of the self, you will notice this, that that's bliss inside, is that is come out through the senses, through the mind, and through the body, to the world, and it has tried to find some happiness there, but in deep sleep state, it withdraws everything, and it remains as it is, as it is. So, that is a proof also that Sukham is not outside, it is inside. If it is realized it, then Abhyasad Ramate, Krishna saying there. Abhyasad Ramate Yatra. That is that Abhyasam is talking about. You know when he is saying Abhyasad Ramate Yatra, this is what it is. That this knowledge, what Krishna is giving to us in this, that there is no sukham outside. There is no sukham. There is sukham inside. Actual sukham is inside and not outside. If you through practice it, if you practice it and make it happen, that is what he is saying there. Abhyasa dhramate yatra dukhandam cha nigacchadi. That is the end of all the distress in this world. If that experience or bliss of the Atma comes to us, and that will only happen by this studying it in this way. How? In Jagrat, Sopnam, Sushupti. In three states, how we are experiencing Sukham. In Jagrat, through the senses. In the dream, through the mind. And in the deep sleep, without the mind, without the dream, without the mind, without the senses, pure happiness. So therefore, there is the source, not outside. And that source comes out through the mind, comes out through the senses, to the world, looking for some happiness. When it's not getting it, it goes back into the source again and stays there. And there it is, pure happiness, present there. So once you have known it is there, that the happiness is, Krishna is saying here, Abhyasad Ramate. By practice you have to make that happen. Little by little, that means Atma is the source of Sukham. Happiness is in Atma, in self-realization. Sukham is our Swarupam. And keep on realizing this, and keep on moving away from the world. Then Krishna says here, Ramate Yatra. Ramate, that is called Ramate Yatra. Ramate means that. When Uddhava was leaving Krishna, the last 29th chapter, you will see it in the Agastya Skandam, the Bhagavatam, there was one prayer from Uddhava to Krishna. Uddhava says to Krishna, that what is that you want now, Uddhava? He said, they had a long association of 115 years. Uddhava was finding it very difficult to leave Krishna. So circumambulated Krishna many times, paid his obeisances, and he was crying. And he says to Krishna, take me also with you where you are going. Krishna says, no, that's not the way. Come on your own. I have given you this Ekadasi Skandam, the process. Take that, take it and study it and reflect on it. Go to Badrinath and spend your time doing that, and then come back to me through this
knowledge what I have given to you. Agarjya Skandam's important is like that. So finally Uddhava says to Krishna at that time that I only one thing to say to you. It's a famous verse in Namostude Mahayogin. Uddhava says to Krishna, Namostude. Pays his obeisances to Krishna, Mahayogin. And what did he say? Prapannam anishadhimam. I completely fall at your feet. What you have given to me, nobody else could give it to me before. And I will not get it from anywhere else. I am fully conscious of that, he says to him. Nobody else is capable of giving this to me, what you have given to me. Prapannam anishadhimam. Yatha, but even though I got it, still, to charanam bhoje, at your lotus feet, radhisyal anavayini. That radhi I should have for you. This affection or love I have got for you. Let that not leave me, he says to Krishna. Radhisyal anavayini. Anavayini means it should never go away from me, my heart. That gratitude inside, Uddhava's gratitude, is flowing like a river from outside, inside. Because after hearing Agarjya Skandam, the transcendental realization and happiness what he had, that was a intention, that was what was coming through that verse. And seeing all these things, Sukha Brahmarshi says in the Bhagavadam, you won't see in many places Sukha Brahmarshi paying obeisances to anybody. But this is one instance where he pays his obeisances to Krishna. What does he say there? Bhava bhayam abahandam jnana vijnana saram nigamakrdu bhajahre bringaval vedasaram amurdamudhata dischapaya yal brutya vargan purusha krishabhamadhyam krishna samyam natosmi. He got up from his seat and lay down on the floor and paid obeisances to Krishna. And he's talking about Krishna. What is he saying? Bhava bhayam apahandam. Bhava bhayam means one who is always fearful of birth and death. All of us, in other words. And Uddhava including. And to whom, by giving this transcendental knowledge in the Agadisha Skandam, jnana vijnana saram, knowledge and its with its fruit of realization. Not only knowledge, but with realization. Krishna has given that to Uddhava. Then, nigamakadu bajahre bringaval vedasaram. Just like the bees goes to different flowers. If you sit in the garden and look, you will see one bee will come. It will look at all the flowers and it will keep looking to one flower, to one flower, to another flower. And take a little bit from every flower, the honey it takes, isn't it? Even if there is a bunch of flowers, you will observe this. Bringaval Vedasaram. Similarly, Krishna is like a bee, gone into all the Vedas, Upanishads, everything, and picked up the honey a little bit from everywhere. That is how Agarjya Skandam is. Bhagavadam is like that. Bringaval Vedasaram. Amrutam Uddhata Discha. And that nectar, Payayal Brithyavargan. Like in the form of Mohini, he took nectar and distributed to all the demigods. Isn't it? And gave them life from the trouble they are going through. Amrutam Uddhata Discha Payayat Brithyavargan. Similarly, for the devotees, Krishna's devotees, Krishna gave this nectar of Agadisha Skandam to all the devotees who wants to have it. And that Supreme Person, Absolute Truth, Purusha Hrishabha, expert in all these things, Adhyam, whose name is Krishna, says, Krishna Samyam Natosmi. I pay my obeisances to him. So you can see both Uddhava and Sukadeva Goswami, what stay there, how they are seeing Krishna. How they are seeing Krishna. And it is that Krishna we are talking about in the Bhagavad Gita. When we are talking about Sukham is Krishna, that happiness is Krishna. It's Krishna who comes out through the mind, comes out through the senses. It's all coming from Krishna. So therefore, this ramate, he says there, isn't it that word? Abhyasad ramate yatra. So this ramate, that word means, it's not ordinary happiness, what we get from the senses. It is a happiness of the soul. Happiness of the soul.
So being situated in the Atma, being situated in the Atma, and being established there, and being fully enjoying that happiness of the Self, that is called Samadhi. That is called Samadhi. You will see this in the 6th chapter. Krishna calls, defines Samadhi. If you want to look at it, you will see that in the 6th chapter. 20-23. Yat uparamate chittam. See, same word Krishna has used there also, rama. Uparamate means the same, ramate yatra, uparamate. Yatra uparamate chittam niruddham yoga sevaya. Yatra jayu altman altmanam pashyan altmani tushyati. Sukham atyandigam yattad buddhigrahyam atindriyam veti yatrana chayvayam sthidas chaladi tattvada. Yam labdhva chabare labham manyade nathigam tada yasmin sthitona dukhena gurunabhi vichalyade tam vidhya dukkha samyoga viyogam yoga sapnitam. In the stage of perfection called trance or samadhi, one's mind is completely restrained from material and mental activities by practice of yoga. This perfection is characterized by one's ability to see the Self by the pure mind and to relish and rejoice in the Self. In that joyous state, one is situated in boundless transcendental happiness, realized through transcendental senses. Established thus, one never departs from the truth, and upon gaining this, he thinks there is no greater gain. Being situated in such a position, one is never shaken, even in the midst of greatest difficulty. This indeed is actual freedom from all miseries arising from material contact. So you can see that Krishna himself is giving the definition of sukham. Krishna is also defining what ramate means, the word there. So that sukham is uparama sukham. That's what Krishna uses that word. Yatra uparamate chittam. And that is the same thing Krishna is saying. Abhyavasad ramate yatra. So, practically, it is not a sukham from extrovert, from external things. That's the first thing to know. It is not from the world. It's not from the outside world. And when one who was completely withdrawn from the world, he is situated in that sukham, what is experienced in the deep sleep state. And at that point, he himself, his identity is sukham. For example, remember in the deep sleep state, all that was there was sukham, happiness only. Even the person who is experiencing is not there. It's happiness only that is present there. So, dukkhandam nahi na nigacchati. Dukkhandam cha nigacchati, Krishna says. So, it's a complete stop of all the sorrows. You go beyond the suffering because all suffering comes to an end. Because suffering is the nature of non-self. Self doesn't suffer. Non-self suffers. Which means mind, body, ego, personality, all these are places of suffering. All these are places of suffering. And suffering can never cross the border of the body and the mind and the ego and the intelligence. Suffering. Only sugam has entry there in Atma. If you take like this, there is Atma, Self, then there is mind, then there is intelligence, ego. Mind itself is broken into these four. Mind, intelligence, ego, chittam, like this, ahankaram. All those four are the next step. Then finally the body, which means includes the senses, everything. In all these other places, sukham and dukham has entry. But once you come to the last one, Atma, dukham has no entry there. Only sukham has entry there. In all other places, sukham and dukham is present. So there is the border, crossing the border, you stop there. When it comes to, when you finish with the body and mind. In deep sleep, your everyday experience absolute cessation of this dukkham, isn't it? because there is no dukkham at all in there. So, when you are in that deep sleep state, in deep sleep, you cannot enter there. Dukkham cannot enter there. So, that is what Krishna is saying here. Dukkha andam chanigachari. That is that point he is talking about. Dukkha andam chanigachari. You have to look at that verse in a very proper way. Otherwise, it is not just a statement from the air. Krishna is saying that this whole situation with us, with the self, the mind, then the expansion of the mind in the form of ego, intelligence, and chittam, vasanas, which are all there. Manasa buddhi ahangaram chittam, the subtle body, from the gross body. And then we have got what is known as our last stage of our expanded form is this gross body, is it not? All these gross body and the subtle body everywhere, they are allowed to come. Which one? Dukkham is allowed to come. But dukkham is put a dead stop when it comes to the self. That means in Karana Shariram is what you have in the deep sleep state. Karana Shariram, there is no dukkham, distress. In Stula Shariram and in the Sushma Shariram, there is dukkham. In Karana Shariram, there is only sukham. This is the important point. So, therefore, it is that Sakarana Shariram is generally referred to as Vaikuntham. Technically, that is the Vaikuntham. The other Vaikuntham, what we talk about, because there is a lot of problems with the other Vaikuntham. You know that, it's not so simple. Somebody says to me, or says to you, I don't know, that Mahavishnu is lying on Adishesha. Adishesha is a snake, isn't it? And to lie on a snake, is that comfortable? I don't know. And on top of your head, Adishesha has all the 1,000 hoods. So how do you feel lying there? And how comfortable it is? And plus, you can also ask the question, it's just a question from a normal mind, it will come, could that not be a proper bed rather than on a snake? How comfortable you can be on top of a snake. So, Vaikuntham, when we prescribe through Puranam and all that, it is spoken in a way to make it a little easier to understand. But it's a lot of questions will come. But if you understand this way, from Tatviyam side, from Tatum point of view, Vaikuntham is that state, what exactly you are experiencing the deep sleep state. That you see, because there, nothing can block that happiness. Of course, we are not established there. That's why we wake up and come back to the waking state and the dream state. But when you are established in that deep sleep permanently, properly established in the waking state also in the same way, then nothing can block that. You have lost your individuality or personality. Egi bhavam has come. So, and nothing else can enter there. Distress cannot enter there. So, so those who have self-realized, what has happened to them is they have transported that happiness of that deep sleep state into the vacant state through yoga process. So Krishna is saying here, dukkha andam cha nigacchari. If that has happened, they are always in Vaikuntham. Is it not? They are always in Vaikuntham. If you have managed to bring back that happiness what you experienced in the deep sleep state without the interference of time, space and ego. Three main things which causes problem. Time, space and the ego. In the absence of all these three, if the same happiness what you had in the deep sleep state, if you have brought it to the vacant state, then you are always in Vaikuntham. You are always in Vaikuntham then. There is no more distress can touch you anymore. That is what Krishna is saying here. Tam vidya dukkha sam yoga viyogam yoga sam idam. That's what it is all mean. But generally when we initially tell people, we'll say like this, that there is another world far away from here. We have to travel a lot to get there. And we'll address it in different ways and that's where we will enjoy. But Vedantam gives importance to right now experiencing it here. before leaving this body. And in Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, Krishna has also spoken about this more than about Vaikuntham and Goloka. More spoken about this realizing self here, not after leaving the body. Not after leaving the body. That is what Krishna calls it as Brahma Nirvanam. Remember that? Brahma Nirvanam, second chapter, last verse. If you look, you will see. And that Brahma Nirvanam is this. Brahma Nirvanam Ruchati, he says there. That's one. Yasham Brahmi Sthiti Partha Nainam Prapi Vimukhyati Stitvasyam Andakalepi Brahma Nirvanam Ruchati. That is the way of the spiritual and godly life, after attaining which a man is not bewildered. If one is thus situated, even at the tower of death, one can enter into the kingdom of God. He's already in the kingdom of God in that state. That's an important point. But when we will say like this, we'll say that after death we go back home, because we don't know our state, what will happen at the death, isn't it? So generally we'll say somebody, a devotee or nobody leaves the body, we'll say he has gone back home, back to Godhead. Just a... keep ourselves happy that way. But if you understand it, what that Krishna is talking about, then you will see that is something we have to have it here before the death comes, isn't it? So, therefore, Krishna says here, Brahmarvanam, or the end of all distress. That is what Krishna is saying here. Arjuna, pursue this process seriously. Think what that is sukham means and reflect on this seriously and give a lot of attention on that, and you will realize it finally that sukham or happiness is not in the sense objects, not in the senses, not in the mind, not in the body, but you will realize that the very seat of the sukham is in the atma or the soul, or the soul. And very nature, identity of Atma itself is happiness. And when you know that, then that sukham, once you know and realize it, that sukham will not be like the other sukham what you had, which comes and goes. And this is the very nature. That means that sukham which is untouched by distress, then... After knowing that, important thing, even if you have reached that stage, then a person who has reached that stage, for him, the distress from the world is not going to stop. That's another important thing. Because his body is still in the hands of the Prakriti, and body is still there, mind is still there. So, and his vyavaharam is also going on. Yeah. Vyavaharam is there, Prakriti is there, which are both in the jurisdiction of the Prakriti, material nature. So, only interesting thing is, within this region of Prakriti, that means in the body, in the mind, and the senses and all, even if some strong waves are carrying on, working here, the inside ocean of that sukham is very peaceful. It's very peaceful. There is shanti inside. That's the difference. That externally, there will be a lot, because he has got the body still. Body has not gone. Prarabdham is holding the body. Body won't go easily like that. Unless the prarabdham is finished, body won't go. And if the prarabdham is finished, body will go. Maharshi said this in one letter to his mother. He said to her that every living entity in this world, Jagadishwara, Krishna controls everybody through his prarabdham, the existence of this. He controls this. All bodies are controlled by Krishna through the agency called prarabdham. And therefore, whatever he decides has to happen here will happen. You won't be able to do anything about it. And if he has not decided that to happen, and if you do anything, try to do anything, it will not happen. So strict and rigid is that law, he said to her, to his own mother, he said. So this is the conclusion of the Bhagavatam also. He's saying exactly the same thing. Krishna is also telling the same thing to us, that this Prakriti is still holding, your Prarabdham is there. Therefore, you'll see this, all these great realized personalities also, before they left the body, they have suffered here in this world. Maharshi suffered, Prabhupada suffered, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati suffered, everybody suffered here. Because only thing is, they managed to escape from the grip of the Prakriti. They found out where the Sukham is genuinely existing, which is not in the body, not in the mind. But body, mind and the vyavaharam, what is in this world, will carry on till the last second, till the body drops away. And all that inconveniences and all the problems of this life will affect that body. There's nothing you can do about that. So, just like they say that that inside he won't lose that knowledge. Body, for example, Maharshi's case, it is there, it's in his biography, somebody has written on that. He says there, he had cancer at the last minute, many years he suffered from cancer, and they wanted to operate him for the cancer. At that time, the surgeon said, I wanted to give the, what do they call that, anesthetic. He said, no, I don't want anesthetic. And on his flesh, they did the operation. And he had pain. But why? He was not suffering. Why? Because inside, he was in the realized state. See that, how it works? It's a complicated thing for people to accept it, isn't it? Understand it. That in two different levels, that person is existing. In one level, in the realized state, inside, deep down, Atma's Sukham he is enjoying. The Sukham of Atma. In the other level, externally, in the world, in this world, based on the body, prarabdham, vyavaharam, all these things are going on. He told the doctor, you can do what you want with the body, he said. I'm not going to stop you. Because he could not make them understand that inside, because nobody will know that, what is going on inside. So he sat there and showed his hand or leg, whatever there was, operation was happening. Operation was done. So that is how it is, that state. So similarly, just like a person, a man, he's dressed up like a woman in a drama. And he's playing that role, a woman's role. But even while playing the role of a woman, he knows who he is. Isn't it? He knows he is a man. But he's playing the role of a woman. Similarly, it is like that. He is realized and he knows who he is. But he has to play the role because the body has not gone. Body is still there. This is that situation. So he doesn't have to think that I am a man or a woman or anything. He knows he is a man. So similarly, one who has known the self and who has knowledge of the self, for him, he doesn't have to think who he is. He knows who he is. Now we don't know who we are. We know we think we are this body, isn't it? But for them, one who has realized, he knows who he is, because this meditation, again, is an activity of the mind. Whereas Swarupam, self-realization, is not an activity of the mind. That's it. That is what you are. That's what you are. That you're not anymore. Just like awareness is not an activity of the mind. That's what you are, isn't it? Awareness. Similarly, that awareness, when it comes to the self, you become that. Then there is no more mind needed to know that. Mind is no more. So, nothing is required from the mind anymore, and that is natural, and that is, mind is, yeah, what we call in the Shastram, it is called as a knowing instrument. You know? To know things, you need mind. But knowing instrument won't help here. So, it is more powerful than the mind, and mind is only an instrument to know the objects in the world outside. Isn't it? Whereas, the whole essence of all the knowledge is the Atma or the Self. Atma or the Self. Then,
one who has known that, for him, this mind is of no use. It's a small thing for him. And they give the example in the Upanishads, when the sun has risen, who wants to talk about the moon? That's how it is. So it is similar to that. Sometimes in the daytime also you see the moon sometimes. But we won't give any attention to that, isn't it? Similarly, jnani also, realized souls also, they have a mind, but they won't give any attention to that mind anymore. It's a useless thing for him. He doesn't need a mind anymore. So, because more powerful than the mind is that knowledge of the self which is operating within, and that is what is called sukham, and that is how Krishna is calling it as sattvika sukham. Sattvika sukham. We'll see that in the next verse, how Krishna discusses that sattvika sukham. So, understand all these things. Karmam, jnanam, karta, dhriti, buddhi. And now, sukham. Everything in its proper way. It's the right way of understanding. That is from Bhagavad Gita. We'll discuss it tomorrow. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.